listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio, being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. And also being heard on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. And as I always start the shows off, guys, with a plug for the shows, we are viewer supported. If you like what these people are trying to do and the content that's being brought forward, I know times are tough, but even a coffee every month would be appreciated. If everybody sent a coffee every month and that added up, boy, I'll tell you, it would really, really help these people out. They put a lot of time in that they never are reimbursed for, but we're not looking for reimbursement. We do this because we love people. Thanks for joining. It's always great to have the Duracell bunny back on today. Of course, I'm referring to Roger Landry, and I say that in a very, very good way because I get Roger on, and he's always full of great information, some of the stuff he brings forward. I know my audience appreciates the information that he does provide for us. Thanks for coming in, Roger. Always great to have you on, my friend.
It's always great to be here.
So what's on your mind now, buddy? Nothing going on down there in the States, is there, that we need to know about?
Okay, let me ask you a question. I thought I was only here for an hour. And yet you asked me to tell you about what's going on. That's not conducive to a very, very lengthy answer at all. But we can do our best, right? We can.
Well, it's been 3 weeks since I've talked to you, Roger, so... And I know there's some pretty crazy stuff. I follow what's going on down there pretty extensively, but not to the level that you do. So it's always good to get you in and get your input on what we see going on down there right now.
Well, there's a myriad of things going on. It just, what do you focus on? When behind curtain number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, add on infinitum, is one shock after another, nobody wants to see another curtain pulled back. Mm. I don't care if the price is right or not. I just don't. So let's talk about what's behind these curtains. Let's talk about, you know, Georgia and a few other states where where recounts are actually being done. And so far, two of those states have said, yep, Trump actually won. So if we get a couple more, oh, my God, there's an election overturn. Now, do I expect to see that happen? I expect everything the deep state could possibly do to make sure that doesn't happen. But if it does, you're going to see a first in history, because what that will force the Supreme Court to do is nullify the election and put Trump back in office.
So can that be done at this point, Roger?
It can be done at any point in time if the election was deemed to be stolen, illegal, unconstitutional. It's nullified. If it's nullified, who was it stolen from?
Okay, well, I've been following this. What states have actually stated that he was ripped off? Which two? Because I've been following this. I watch what's going on in Arizona and Georgia. Go ahead.
And that's it right now. But are several other states, and I'm not – again, I'm not going to be running my mouth off until I know a little bit more. But what I have been told and what has been postulated is that the states that are considering – really pegging down on this because of what they've seen, that includes Pennsylvania. Okay? Mm-hmm. What's that? something.
Barry.
I don't know what's going on there, how that's coming in. I don't know, guys. I really don't know. Hang on, let me just see if I can get rid of this. Sorry. My computer's been doing some weird stuff lately, and I don't know why.
You still don't shut it down at night, do you?
I do actually do, Steve. I actually do that. I shut it off,
okay,
and I boot it back up because you told me that. Okay, how's that? Is that better?
Yes, it is.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like an electronic machine gun right now. But anyway, that's what it sounded like.
Okay. Well, I don't have one.
I didn't think you did. But again, it just depends on which door or which curtain we're going to look behind. That's one thing. And whether that pans out or not, it is something that's getting more and more focus each day, especially with, the one that's supposed to be done and is already indicating, just like Georgia, they're both indicating that Trump actually won the state. So anyway, that's one thing. Okay, let's talk about another thing. Another thing being absolutely destroying the petrochemical industry in the United States. This is the first time the United States in many, 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 many years has been able to claim energy independence, meaning we were not at the beck and call of a foreign power because we didn't have enough oil to keep our cars running and our lights on.
Right.
And that's all gone. Millions of jobs have been lost as a result. Everybody says, well, there's only a couple thousand on that pipeline and a couple thousand in the fracking fields. And let's take, what does that oil supply? What do they do for employees? So on and so forth. If you take it from the oil field to where it's actually used as a product, the ramifications of this are huge. And it's not just the pipeline. It is stopping fracking. It's stopping this, stopping that, so on and so forth. We have lost our energy independence, and the cost of oil in the United States and in Canada is all of a sudden skyrocketing again. You go to the gas pump, it's up by at least 30% to 40%.
Yep.
Okay, so that's curtain number two. Curtain number three, there's more people coming across the border now than there has been since Obama was president. Gee, who's the guy in between? That was Trump. I'm not here to build Trump up. I'm going to say a fact. When Trump was in office, the illegal border crossings were at the all-time low for almost 60 years. Okay? And now we've got a flood of them again. And now they're sitting in cages, the kids. And now it's backed up like you would not believe. And they're blaming this on Trump. That's curtain number three. Let's go to curtain number four, okay? Everybody needs to take a vaccine that isn't a vaccine. It's not. It doesn't even qualify as a vaccine. It doesn't. And it's not approved by the FDA, and it's not approved by the CDC. We're speaking American here, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not. So this shot can only be used for emergency use only. It cannot be made mandatory. End of story. Now, that doesn't mean that woke companies can't tell you this is private property, this building, we own it. You can't come in here and work unless you get a shot. Can they do that? Yeah, actually they can. So what we're looking at right now is the actual splitting of the population. There are, as a matter of fact, if you stop and talk to anybody right now who works for a pharmaceutical company, they're going to tell you these vaccines are coming up against a hard wall real soon. Mm-hmm. More and more people are saying every day, you ain't putting that in my arm.
Take that vaccine and
yeah. In India, when the government when a government group came in to vaccinate the village, the villagers stood there and stoned them until they left. Literally stoned them. This was in India, until they left the village without vaccinating anybody. This is coming to a peak. We are going to see very quickly more and more people saying, keep that vaccine away from me. It's not a vaccine. It's a DNA switch using mRNA. Okay, so it's not a vaccine. You're being lied to. It does not immunize you from anything. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest issues they're having right now is that the people are vaccinated are coming down with COVID-19.
Whoops. That's not supposed to happen, Roger.
And they didn't even have it before they got the shot. Oh, gee, I guess what? Yeah, guess what might have happened? I don't know.
Maybe a little shedding going on, would you say, Roger?
It gets even worse than shedding, because shedding is something you have to associate with a vaccination.
Right.
Shedding is a vaccine term, meaning right. I can breathe it out, so on and so forth. Other people around me will pick up those germs and they can be infected because the vaccine I just gave you is, guess what? Okay, it's a live virus vaccine. Mm. So that's what shedding is. Now, let's go back to this is not a vaccine. It isn't. It's an mRNA switch. So shedding doesn't work. Okay? What does work is transmission. You cannot call it shedding because it's not a qualified vaccine. This is actual transmission, and I don't mean electrically. I'm looking at Ariana's latest article, and the title is World Doctors Warning, Stay Away from the Vaxxed. Why are they saying stay away from the vaccine, the people who've had the vaccine? Because they will transmit it to you.
Exactly.
Okay? And you're either going to end up with COVID-19, you may end up dead, but you're most likely going to end up sterile. And this is by being around the people who have gotten the vaccine. So anybody out there that thinks they have to vaccinate the entire world to get us all under their thumb, wrong. You have to vaccinate enough of them so as they intermingle with other crowds and other people, they're literally transmitting what they got a shot for to you. Shake their hand, swab a little spit, rub elbows.
Stay
in the same room next to them for an hour and breathe the air they're breathing. And guess what?
You might as well just go have the shot yourself.
So right now we're in a situation where there are doctors, and lots of them, that are literally saying if you want to protect your health, you need to avoid the vaccinated. What? Are you freaking kidding me?
Wow. I know. I read that this week, Roger. I read two reports exactly what you're talking about here. And you know what? They've actually, these psychopaths have created the perfect biological weapon. That people think that this vaccine was just started last year when this thing came out and they started developing. I honestly believe, Roger, that this was in the works many, many years ago for them to develop a vaccine, a so-called vaccine that's going to do what you just talked about. That didn't happen overnight, that this was planned, that they're unleashing a bioweapon on the planet Earth that is going to be very, very hard for somebody like me to avoid, because I'm around the people now that are bragging that they've been vaccinated. Now we're finding out that it can be transmitted from person to person. This is insanity, buddy. And then what about blood donations, Roger? What's going to happen there? You know, if I need blood, do I want a blood from somebody that's had a vaccine? No. Go ahead, bud. It's insanity. Go ahead.
You don't know if that person has had a vaccine or not. And yes, having a blood transplant from an individual like this, and I'm not a doctor, but I do know quite a bit about vaccines. And in most cases, more than most doctors, because they only get 3 hours of training on vaccines in their entire medical training. So if you stop to consider the transmissibility of this, then what do you have? They're vaccinating children now. They're vaccinating kids in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade.
Crazy, man. What the hell? Go ahead, Roger. I'm sorry.
Barry, can I add something?
Oh, yeah. Listen, Roger, I don't want to interrupt your train of thought, but Steve did ask me if he could ask you one quick question here.
Well, there's been a comment about the India incident that you're referring to, Roger. It seems that there's a possibility it wasn't shut down because of the vaccine, but it was the police were run out of the area because of a festival, a party that somebody was putting on. And
Okay, let me ask you a question. Doesn't it all equal out to the same thing? Because they were told they can't do that. They have to social distance. They can't have those type of gatherings. So when they decide to do it because they don't believe the crap, and the state pulls in their trucks and they stone them and say, "We've had enough of your crap. Get out of our town."
Touche. But there's the question.
One still equals two here.
Sure. Mm. Touche. But I've got a question for you also. Have you been seeing reports? I've been seeing reports and videos of doctors and nurses are putting out the claim that people that are vaccinated are actually some sort of a bioweapon. And yes. That's
exactly what I was talking about. The ability to transmit.
Right.
And that makes everybody who receives this vaccine a bioweapon.
And that's from a nanotech, right?
Yes. And let me jump on right back. Look, everybody who has had this vaccine, okay, now let's consider them a transmissible individual. They can transmit whatever it is in their body. And anybody who thinks that, again, this is a joke. Barry, you and I talked about, and you absolutely took me aback. I had not seen it. I didn't understand it. You actually saw in the masks and on the head of these swabs little things moving around.
Yeah, a little back mini.
Okay.
From China.
Let me explain why the fact that everybody who's had the vaccine is now a transmission, idiot. They really are. Okay, but let's also consider that masks that are qualified for this type of situation, the manufactured paper masks or the plastic masks, basically, did show that there were nanotubes embedded in the mask. And the actual swabs that they stick up your nose all the way up to the blood-to-brain barrier almost were, in fact, okay, they did have – and they were infested, basically, with nanotubes. What are these nanotubes? These nanotubes are to deliver what is being called the vaccine, the mRNA DNA switch, to your body. How can they do that with a mask? Because you're constantly breathing in and out on a mask. The nanotubes react to two things, actually three, but two of them that are really important here. Increase in moisture, increase in temperature.
Right.
So as soon as you put that thing on and start to breathe, that's when these little buggers start to move. What are they doing by moving? They're letting go of their payload. Now, I just got done telling you that they're vaccinating you with the nose swabs. They're vaccinating you.
I'm laughing. I got to laugh. Sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
They're vaccinating you with your mask, and now they're telling you everybody that's had the shot is now a transmission tower.
And you still got to wear your mask. And social distance.
Because a majority of people won't believe this either. A vast number of the people who have gotten both COVID-19 shots have got COVID-19. What?
How can that happen, Roger? Come on. Somebody got the wrong bottle in there or something. Because, the government's telling us this thing is effective and it's safe. They never lie to us, Roger. Come on, buddy.
The cases are
– too many conspiracy theories, buddy. Go ahead, Roger.
The cases are spiking all over the planet, including
everywhere.
England. They're not spiking because more people have naturally caught COVID-19. They're spiking because so many people have already gotten the vaccine, and of them, a big chunk of them all of a sudden find out, although they didn't before, they have COVID-19 now. Now, let me ask everybody out there a question, because I sound a little, like I'm debunking my own story. There is no COVID-19. It's never been isolated. They can't prove to us it even exists. Yet, they're saying to us now that guess what? We're finding out these people have COVID-19. How? What are you comparing it against? If you want to talk about biowarfare against humanity, the best way to continue this is to keep people so in a fog that they can't figure it out. Or every time they do, you throw something else at them that's so amazing, it literally takes them off track. We are looking here. We're looking here at a plan that's been literally, okay, in the making for at least 10 years. 4 or 5 years ago, Event 201, they sat down and figured out how to choreograph this across the entire planet. Not only that, but Pfizer, hold on, Pfizer had a patent for their, guess what, their vaccine, or applied for a patent for their vaccine 6 months before any of the COVID crap ever started. Let's put one and one together. Why doesn't it make two anymore? It used to make two. It don't anymore.
I'm still wondering how I woke up in this new world, Roger. I mean, I kind of like the old world I was in, and this one has just completely gone upside down. But you know what? If you listen to shows we did 5 or 6 years ago, Roger, we would talk about a point where society would be turned upside down. And we would talk about mechanisms that they were going to use and blah, blah, blah. And one day it was going to come and people would hear it and they'd go, oh, yeah, sure, sure. All of a sudden, it is in our face so hard right now that it is really, really knocking people right off their feet, especially up here in Canada, Roger. Our government has gone completely rogue. They are not hiding their full intention now for this country. And I don't know if you saw what was going on in Montreal yesterday, Roger, but we had the biggest demonstration of people, the biggest gathering of people on the streets of the city of Montreal ever since the Second World War for V-Day. There was never this many people on the streets in Montreal. We are seeing a rise in people now in this country that is, it is absolutely encouraging, Roger. It's absolutely encouraging. We are getting pushed back so hard now from Canadians. I'm seeing Canadians finally starting to wake up in mass. That crowd last week, that'll double next week, Roger. And the week after that, it's going to double again. Toronto had one of their biggest demonstrations yesterday. We're starting to see it happen where people are rising in mass. Go ahead, buddy. It's encouraged me a little bit, Roger, because for the last couple of months, all I've been seeing is just this continual push against the citizens of this country. And now I'm seeing the biggest pushback I've ever seen before in my life. Go ahead, my friend.
If you stop for a second, and again, I constantly tell everybody in your audience every time I'm on here, you need to step back and look at the big picture. There are so many things connected to this scenario that if you're just looking at what's happening in front of your face, you're never going to figure it out. What is one of the biggest pushes in the United States right now by the government? It's gun control. Why? Because the American people have between 350 and 500 million guns in private hands, which is more than the Russian army or the Chinese army, if we're just talking guns. Okay? But if you're going to literally enslave an entire nation, and I should say an entire world, but you're getting my drift. All right. The one thing you probably should do before you get a little bit too tyrannical or people start to see what's actually behind curtain number three before you're ready for them to see it is you need to take their freaking guns away. You got to take their guns away. What's happening in America about taking the guns away? OK, there are states right now saying, you know what? Nullification. Arkansas already did it. They have stated that no federal gun laws, new gun laws, will be honored. They will be nullified in Arkansas. And it's not the only state doing this. So what you're having is safe zones, Second Amendment safe zones. And it doesn't even have to be a state. A sheriff is more powerful than the president of the United States if the president is within the sheriff's territory. That's an absolute fact. The Wow. sheriff is the ultimate power in his domain. Now, if a sheriff says, no, you ain't taking our guns, He has the authority to do that within his jurisdiction. Now, what the public can do if they don't agree with him is they can vote him out and replace him with someone else. But the point here is Americans are getting very creative. Americans are looking at the Constitution. Americans are looking at the Bill of Rights. And Americans are saying, yo, Joe Bob, that ain't going to happen here. Mm. And it's spreading very quickly.
Well, it has to, Roger, because they're really ramping up the agenda. If we don't get a major pushback against this, in Canada here, Roger, if we don't put a stop to this right now, and I'm talking about a real stop to everything this government's doing, I don't believe there will be freedom in Canada in a couple of years. That's how close we are to losing it, how close Justin Trudeau is to implementing his desire to be a dictator, because that's what he's aiming for. Go ahead. He loves communist China. He just loves them.
Yeah, well, obviously, Biden, they can blackmail him at the drop of a hat, but we'll go into that on another show. If you take a look at the big picture again, step back. What did I say? I told you that if you got the vaccine, you're in worse trouble than if you didn't get it. Not only that, but it's already proving to be the deadliest vaccine they've ever put out in public. And it's only been out for what, a couple of months now? And it's absolutely horrible what it's doing. But that ain't even the beginning of what's actually going to happen. So now, how many people do you have to vaccinate? Stop and listen to this question. How many people do you have to vaccinate out of 7.5 billion so that even if the public puts an absolute stop to it, between transmission, okay, and the inability of these adults to, or children who get this shot to ever have kids, you're looking at a massive reduction in population. But as I asked, how many do you have to actually vaccinate before you've got enough transmission towers on the planet to pretty much take out the rest of them? And I don't mean kill them. I mean sterilize them. I mean make them sick. Okay, sterilization. Right now, I dare anybody listening to Barry's show right now, don't do it right now, but do it after the show. Go to the internet and type in COVID-19 problems with sexual health, with female reproduction. Yep. I dare you to. You're going to come up with so many articles, it's insane. Again, doctors across the planet are telling both with women and men, don't take this. You're not going to be able to have babies. Not only that, here's the kicker. Here's the real kicker. When you get the shot, you're advised if you are of sexual age, you know, of that age, 18 or older, you are advised when you get the shot not to have procreative sex for at least 30 days. I got to ask you a question. How the hell do they know not 31 days? How do they know not 40 days? How do they know not 60 days? How do they know not forever? But the scary part of this is that they told you that at all. Because what they just told you is that either her eggs or your sperm is going to make it not happen. It shouldn't be done. They're even telling you this. Why would they say that? Why would they tell you that if there wasn't a danger? Why?
Unbelievable, Roger. You know, the biggest problem we have right now is getting this information to the general public. It really is. Because up in Canada here, we're seeing censorship like I've never seen before in my life. They're ramping it up like crazy, Roger. They're trying to push through a bill called C-10. If that bill goes through, then I will not be able to do what I'm doing right now in Canada. That's how far this government is going right now. We really have to put our foot to the floor right now. People have to realize that this is something way beyond any virus or any sickness we've ever seen in this planet. This is about losing it all. And you know what, buddy? I never thought I'd be able to say that to myself at this point in my life, that we could lose it all. But we could, Roger.
That's how
dangerous this is.
It's not a virus and it's not a sickness. It is a manufactured DNA switch. We are all in exactly what you said, a genetic experiment. Let's go back and revisit why I can say that. If these vaccines had gone through animal trials, which some say they did. These are, you know, whistleblowers say they did go through animal trials and none of the animals survived the shots.
Right.
So if you stop to consider that there were no animal trials, they absolutely did away with them under the auspice that this was an for emergency use. Well, first they shot themselves in the foot, because they can never make them mandatory if they're only for emergency use. But they can sure coerce a lot of people into taking them. Okay? So, again, if you make this mandatory, if you make it mandatory, you are actually breaking the law. The CDC has already stepped up to say that these vaccines are not vaccines. They are emergency mechanisms. They don't qualify. They haven't gone through the procedure. I'm going to tell you that I don't believe all the animals died. I'm going to tell you that I believe that these animal studies were actually done, and that Barry hit the nail right on the head when he said they started proofing these mechanics of this mechanism many years ago. They did. Okay. And what we have now, I would be willing to bet, I don't know, an inordinate amount of money that I don't have, that absolutely 100% those tests were done, and you and I will never see the results of them, because those are the results they wanted.
Say, Roger, can I add something?
Yes.
What about trying to get out the information, proving to the fact with the UCC membership numbers, the corporate structure of the United States government, and the corporate structure of the CDC, the corporate structure of the WHO, the NIH,
the FDA, CIA.
You and I know that that they're all corporate structures. They're all corporate entities. Why not?
No, they're all tradable.
Correct. Why not take them to the corporate law, the corporate jurisdiction?
Well, I got to tell you something. Right now, the only thing that could literally, okay, as part as the American structure, the only thing that could really step up to eliminate a lot of the issues here, the only entity is the Supreme Court. We know the Supreme Court can be bullied. We watched them being bullied right into ignoring all of the proof of election fraud that was right in front of their face. They were literally threatened.
Plus Obamacare. Yes. Don't forget Obamacare.
Oh, and this goes back even further than that.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So if you stop to consider that right now, faith in the Supreme Court is at the lowest it has been in so long, nobody even remembers. They will step up the next time. They will, or they know their credibility would be absolutely gone. I'm going to tell you right now that there are cases going in front of the Supreme Court for several issues. One, dictatorial governors locking people down and taking their rights away in an unconstitutional fashion. And two, when these states, and there's already two of them, I think they only need three more, when these states finally can prove that the election was stolen and should be invalidated, they will have no choice. They didn't hear it because they said they didn't have standing. Election laws were the purview of the states, not the federal government. Now, hold on a second. Now, who is the president? Joe Bob. So if this goes to the Supreme Court, it is no longer the purview of the state because he sits in the White House. It is now a federal matter, and they will have no choice but to see it. So do I see that all is not dead, all hope is not gone? Yeah. Are we going for one hell of a ride between here and there? Anybody who thinks they're living a boring life right about now?
Yeah. Just wait. We're only in the first act, Roger. It's going to get really crazy out there, buddy. You know that, and I know that. But where it all going to go in the end, we don't know. But we could talk about all the possible scenarios we see unfolding in society right now. And there's so many things going on, Roger. I'm being bombarded here with every day. I'm getting from multiple people all these reports about adverse effects coming from all over the planet now on these vaccines. And I'm telling you, Roger, I think we're going to get to the critical mass point here very, very quickly, where enough people in society will be interacting with each other. As much as they try and quash all this information, I think we're going to get to a point where enough people are interacting with each other that we will actually put a stop to this madness. All it's going to take is us to stand Barry. Up, buddy. All it's going to take.
Just one more thing, Barry. Roger.
Okay. And that's the last question mind. For you today, Steve.
Yes, yes. Last time I'm going to, hopefully this will be the last time I'll open my mouth. No, but, yeah, exactly. In all seriously, Roger and Barry, Joe Bob, Creepy Uncle Joe, Creepy and the Whore, whatever you want to say, they are president and vice president of the Corporation of America. That's what people need to know. My humble opinion.
Well, they are. That doesn't make them right. Corporate. That doesn't mean that they can walk all over the Constitution or anything else. Well, they are to be held to a higher standard right. than you and I, because they are there at the highest level in order to do one thing and one thing only, serve we the people.
Which so Constitution, though?
Exactly.
Which Constitution? That's my question.
Okay, all right. We could trip off on this for the next hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, so we only got 20 minutes left here.
Yeah, let's not start a conversation going in that direction, because I won't give up.
Yeah, we got to keep you focused there, Roger, because it's really
he's
easy.
Absolutely right.
Well, you know what it is, Roger? Everything that you talk about, everything that we talk about, everything we talk about, doesn't matter what issue we talk about, they're all connected. And when you start talking about one issue, all of a sudden comes to your brain that you know is very important to support what you're talking about. And it's so easy to get off on that rabbit hole. And then you forget where you are. You start traveling around. You find a whole bunch of other rabbit holes. And eventually you come back to where you started. But that could take a couple hours, and we don't have that. So let's stay on vaccines here for the last 20 minutes of the show, because that's what I really want to talk about is, like I was saying, the amount of reports I'm seeing every day, Roger, and you're probably getting 10 times the amount of reports that I am, but I'm literally just being bombarded now with reports every day about the negative effects around the world of these vaccines on the human body, especially the females, and what's going on with their menstrual cycles. It's just, this doctor I have coming on in the next hour here, she's going to absolutely knock people right off their feet, what she's been hearing in the last 3 weeks. And, of course, Ariana last week, she was talking to me here, Roger, and I know you talk to her more than I do, but she's got some really, really great information to share next week about this. People, we just got to get it to the public, Roger. That's the biggest obstacle we have right now, is making people understand and educating them and giving them a choice after they're properly educated. And that's what we're really up against right now. The censorship battle is just rampant, my friend, rampant. Go ahead.
Rampant? Or rampant.
Rampant. That's what I was trying to say. Okay, rampant. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, hang on. My lips are getting
rampant.
Old. Rampant. Okay,
there you go.
Okay, I'll say it 10 times next time. Go ahead.
No, don't say it 10 times. Look, vaccines for the last, let's say, 100 years have been steadily increasing in both their ability to affect the human race, and specifically targeted countries or populations such as the United States. And it has also worked that, along with psychiatric and psychotropic drugs, have worked to put together the richest, most powerful corporation cabal on the planet, which is the pharmaceutical industry. And if you stop to consider for 1 second that when I was born, if you got one or two shots, and this is 1954, if you got one or two, okay, that was a lot. Until polio came in, and then everybody got the polio, and we won't even go into that. Okay. Today, with, you got to go back and get a booster, so on and so forth, we're talking hundreds of vaccines, hundreds. Okay. Now let's talk about how many people across the planet get hundreds of vaccines across the span of their life. All right. And let's average the cost of each one of those at about $500 a shot. And what you realize is the immense amount of money that is controlled by the pharmaceutical industry. And it's not just money, because they buy from the petrol industry. They buy from the agriculture or the GMO industry. They buy from and they have huge purchasing power. Pharmaceutical industry today steps bad, and it steps badder than just about anybody else. The only cabals that even come close are the banking cabals, which are in a slightly different type of category, okay, and the military-industrial complex, which is nowhere near as big as, yep, the pharmaceutical industry. So now you've got vaccines have become a very important part of our life. We've been told, just like our doctors, you never question your doctor. It doesn't matter if this guy's an idiot and barely scraped out of medical school and he's lost how many patients over the last 10 years. None of that matters, because you're never supposed to question your doctor. And your doctor says you need to get a vaccine. Now, if you, and I dare you people out there to do this, the next time your doctor tells you need to get a vaccine, ask him what the pros and cons are. Ask him what the side effects listed by the manufacturer are. Ask him if it's going to be required to be repeated on a regular basis. Ask these questions and watch them stutter, because they don't know the answers. They're just told to give you that, and they're going to get a kickback for everyone you give. Vaccines are one of the few things that a doctor actually gets a kickback on. Not joking. That and, yeah, other pharma drugs like psychedelics or psychotropics or whatever. Okay, so now we've got this massively powerful industry sitting down with Bill Gates and the likes, and they're talking about what can we do to take the world out of this chaotic, everybody thinks they can do their own thing, and put it into a structured society where everybody has to do what we say or else. This was event 201. How do we control this mechanism globally? Yep. So they did. And here we are. We're looking today at a man-made process that was premeditated, and all of the people who have died of starvation, who have died because the hospitals weren't taking patients because of COVID, so people were dying from this and that and so on and so forth. The fatality rate in every single country on this planet since COVID-19 started, unrelated to COVID-19, has gone up. Suicide, heart failures, lung failures. I could go on and on and on.
Across the board.
What we are seeing right now is an industry that is so in bed with the governments across the planet. And we are in the period that you and I discussed many years ago. We go back to the Georgia Guidestones. Okay. This is a huge granite monument stuck right out there in the countryside where people can see it and they're in awe and they stop and they read it and, oh my God, this is great. One of the paragraphs, and I'm going to paraphrase, says this basically: keep humanity at under 500 million in tune with nature, which means there's 7.7 billion of us. That's telling me that 7.2 billion people need to be made to go away. You cannot do this with a nuclear war. In order to kill that many people off, you would make the planet uninhabitable for 10,000 years. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. And you can't do it with major warfare, because you're going to destroy the entire infrastructure that you're going to need after the fact. So what do you do? What mechanism is available to these people who literally feel they are the gods of humanity? What mechanism is the most available to them? Vaccines are very trusted. Vaccines were very trusted. A lot of people got them. People like me spent 10 years unburying the facts about how many people have been damaged, how many people have died, how many people have been sterilized. And now we have what was at one time one of the most trusted aspects of pharmacology on the planet, the vaccine. And people across the planet are going, get that damn thing away from me.
Yeah.
Don't you stick that thing in my arm.
Yeah. Wait a second here.
So now, hold on. Now, everybody out there, tell me how the word that Barry puts out, how the word that the Liberty Beacon Project puts out, how the word that, and I could go through a lot of alternative media sources. Tell me how that word doesn't work. If you've got people across the planet saying, keep that thing away from me, because their government sure isn't telling them that.
And who trusts anything the government says to begin with, Roger? We got to remind people just how honest our governments are.
They're getting it from us, Barry.
They are. But you got to jog their memory. You got to jog their memory. You really do. Especially with Canadians, because they have the shortest memory in the world, Roger. They do. We're the most apathetic people in the world up here. We really need some Canadian men to stand up here. And
I heard you had the shortest something else. It wasn't
me. Yeah. Okay. We can whoop your ass at hockey anytime. Go ahead.
There you go. And I absolutely love it. I do. Hockey. So anyway, let's talk about the end result. What are they looking for? What would they like to see? And let's talk about something that nobody has talked about. It's kind of gone by the wayside, but it's one of the biggest, baddest bullies on the block. It is a mechanism of absolute destruction. We've covered it several times on your show, Barry, but at the same time, nobody's talking about it at all now. Mm. Why? And that's 5G.
Yeah, it got shoved under the rug, didn't it, Roger? Too many other things to think about right now.
Well,
what a great way to roll something out and keep the public distracted. Look over here, don't look over there, and that's exactly what we're seeing right now with 5G. Go ahead.
It gets worse than that, because I asked your audience about almost a year ago to do something. I said, what I'd like you to do is go to the internet and ask for a map showing the hardest hit areas for COVID-19. Then I asked you, once you printed that out or stored it on your computer, to go and get a map showing the most complete areas of 5G build out. And then I want you to superimpose one on top of the other. 5G exposure, especially from these millions of little antennas on your house, on a lamppost next to your house, all through the city, the whole nine yards, it is a known fact that this can not only cause cancer, but I'm going to tell you people something. You go look this up. I dare you to. Okay. Any one of our children, whether it's Canada or the United States, that goes through school, kindergarten through 12th grade, K through 12, if you're a female, because there's Wi-Fi in almost every classroom now, if you're a female, 57% of our females are being literally sterilized by 5G, by Wi-Fi before they graduate from 12th grade. That's a scientific research done. Go look it up, okay? So that obviously isn't enough. 7 years ago, the last time this information was put out, the United States had a 314,000 birth deficit in 1 year. 314,000 birth deficit. That was 7 years ago. How many more vaccines? How much more Wi-Fi? How many COVID vaccines? How much 5G build out? What do we have to do to convince you people there are people on this planet trying to sterilize you and get you the hell out of their face because you're spoiling their picnic ground? I'm not joking.
Yeah, they're very, very evil people. And the problem is most people can't even begin to wrap their minds around what these people are capable of, Roger. But everything we see today in our world that is negative, and we could talk about so many different aspects of negativity in our society right now, but every one of those is connected, folks. Everything we see going on right now, whether it's an attack on our health, our souls, our mental abilities to think things out. Whatever we want to talk about has been under attack, but they've done it slowly. You got to slow kill them, Roger, because then they don't see it. And they have for the last, 30, 40 years done this and done that, and people don't recognize what's going on around them. And now we're at a point where society, brains are literally jelly. And men do not seem to have enough strength to stand up against what we see going on. It, like I said, especially in Canada, down the States, I see a little different story. I see some really large groups of hardcore Americans that are ready to die to protect what they've got. Up in Canada, it's a little bit different, Roger. I'm going to have to come down there, I think, because there's more of you guys that will stand with me when the poop does hit the fan. Go ahead, my friend.
We've gone over some pretty hefty stuff here today. All right. We really have. We do understand at this point that if we don't step up, that the repercussions aren't going to be, well, you're going to have a little bit less freedom. No, the repercussions are going to be that the human race is going to be redefined. Not a joke. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There are scientists out there saying that if enough of this DNA alteration is done, if this is done via mechanisms that are semi-robotic or that type of thing, we move into the realm, and this, some of you are going to laugh, but take a look at it, research it online, and you're going to find out I'm right. If they do enough of this and they're already well on their way, they can now start patenting humanity. They can hold the patent on your children. I'm not joking. That is an absolute fact. What happens when the Gates Foundation owns the patent on humanity? And I'm sure it wouldn't be just the Gates Foundation. It would be a cabal. But the point here is, do they have the right to modify it as they see fit? Do they have the right to have only so much of it present at any given time? Do they have the right? What you're talking about, if someone patents you, is that you become their property. And if your entire makeup is based on their mechanism, then by U.S. law, at some point, that will be patentable.
Boy, oh boy. That's deep, Roger. Deep.
I keep bringing you such good news, don't I?
Oh, man, you're just making my day here, buddy. Just when I thought I knew a little bit about what's going on, you hit me with this now, and I'm going, huh? What?
Nobody.
Well, nothing surprises me, Roger. Nothing. Go ahead. We only got about 3 or 4 minutes left here, buddy. I'm going to have to let you go. Go ahead, Roger. Last thought for the week. Yeah, I know you. Well, you got 3 minutes left. How's that?
Okay.
So, here's some thoughts, and then we'll say goodbye.
If anybody listening to this stops to consider for even a second that I have absolutely nothing to gain by coming on here and saying this, I'm not going to make $1 million. If I get on another 10 or 15 shows because I said this, I'm not going to make any money there either. What am I doing? I'm getting a word out. That's what the Liberty Beacon Project does. We eradicate programmed ignorance. Everything that I've mentioned today about the transmissibility of this via a vaccinated individual or somebody who got spiked because it's not a vaccine, and a non-spiked individual, yes, it can happen. Okay. We also know that a vast majority of people getting these shots are getting what's called the COVID-19. And how the hell are they doing that when it's never been isolated? We are living in the biggest lie humanity has ever seen. The flu is gone. Anything that was transmissible other than COVID is gone this year. If COVID didn't exist, this would be the healthiest year in human history. How the hell does that work? Mm. How does that work? Mm. But that's exactly what the truth is. So, Barry, I thank you for allowing me the platform to get the word out. And I always know that when I come here, other than a little bit of riffraff around the edge trying to make me feel bad, you're a great host. You're a great host, and this is a great platform. And even Steve comes up with some damn good questions every now and then, too.
Get out of town.
Hey, listen, well, Roger, you know what? We've been doing this for so many years now, buddy, and I'm telling you, every time I get on with you, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I absolutely respect the amount of
Can I add just one last thing?
Audience, yeah, go ahead, Steve, and then I'll finish up the first hour.
Well, I wanted to address something that Roger mentioned a little while ago about sterilization and that kind of stuff. America, and predominantly the Western world, has been dying out since the last 30-plus years. The only reason
the only reason
America has gained any population is because of immigration.
Illegal and legal.
Yes.
Right.
No. So that's exactly right. Exactly so right.
Of course, that's the plan.
Yep.
Okay, Roger. I'm great to have you in again, buddy. It's an honor to call you my friend. And I look forward to our next conversation. And with that, I'm going to take a 3 or 4 minute break. I'm going to be back with a doctor talk for an hour.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Walk with me.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Roger for coming in. Always enjoy his input, and I'll get him back in a couple weeks. I'm joined the second hour here by Dr. Deb, and Dr. Deb has got a clinic called the Serenity Medical Clinic in the United States. Now, exact what state it is, I'm not sure, but I listened to Dr. Deb talk in a couple of videos. I went to her site and listened to a couple of other videos that she's done, and I reached out to her and asked if she'd join me today for an hour, and she's been kind enough to oblige me, and I've been looking forward to this conversation. Welcome to the show, Doctor, and can you give people a little bit of background on yourself, and we'll go forward. Yeah,
absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. So my name is Dr. Deborah Muth. I'm a nurse practitioner and a naturopathic doctor. I have a master's in natural medicine. I have a master's in herbal medicine, and I own one of the largest integrative clinics in the Midwest here in Wisconsin. So we, over the years, have treated a lot of chronic illness. I treat a lot of Lyme disease, tick-borne disease, mold toxicity. We pretty much see the sickest of the sick, and we see people who've been everywhere and no one's been able to help them. One of my colleagues that works with me treats kids with autism and kids that have been affected by vaccine injury. He's been doing that for about 15 years. And we've seen a lot of unfortunate incidences with children. And we're really concerned about what we're going to see going forward with adults as we move through this whole COVID world.
You know what? Myself, Doc, I've been looking at vaccines in children now for about 6 or 7 years of my life. And what I see going on with children and the vaccine regimens that are being rolled out, in my world, is nothing short of criminal. It really is. Because if we, you know, I'm going to let you speak mostly here, Doc, but what I have looked at is autism numbers since 1969, the amount of autism in our society then as opposed to today. And if you look at a correlation of the rise in vaccines and you put the scales beside each other, they're almost identical. So tell me there's nothing to be seen there. I'm totally into naturals, and that's why I wanted to get you on the show today. I have totally become a person that looks at a book called The Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. Every time I get sick, I take that book out, and it tells me what to treat my sicknesses with naturally. And it works, Doc. So
let's It definitely that. Does. It oh, definitely does. That's one of my first books that I had bought when I started studying naturopathic medicine, gosh, almost 25 years ago now it's been. And like a lot of us, I got into naturopathic medicine for the same reason most people turn to it. I became sick. My conventional doctor couldn't offer me anything except for narcotics and antidepressants and said, here you go. And in 4 years, you'll be disabled. And I was 28 years old. And I was thinking, there's something really wrong with this. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. And I had some wacky friends back in that time frame and said, you guys have to know someone that can help me. And luckily, they didn't mind me calling them wacky back then. And they took me to see naturopathic people who showed me how to eat properly, showed me how toxic the food was, got me turned on to this idea that the body can heal as long as it's taken care of. And we don't need all this conventional medicine of drugs. And within 5 weeks, I was totally better and didn't need any of the things my doctor had given me.
Yeah. You know, I could literally go on for about an hour right now about people I've seen in my own community that have changed things in their lives and what they're experiencing by changing their diet. Watching what they're eating, especially now with the amount of GMO foods that are on the market. You can still go on the list or on the internet right now and get a list of all the foods that contain GMOs, and you can get a list of foods that don't. And if you take that list to the grocery store, you can avoid a lot of it. You can't avoid 100% of it, but you can avoid a lot of it. And that's a real big change I've made. I take the list to the grocery store, and stuff I used to love to eat, I can't eat it anymore. But you know what? So be it.
Yep. That's right. I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of us making a decision of what's healthy for me versus what's not. And it's all about toxic load, right? So if 90% of the time you're eating clean, healthy food and you're drinking clean water and you're detoxifying your body and you're doing all that stuff, okay, you know that once or twice a year you go to the wedding and you really want to have a piece of wedding cake, your body can handle it. But right. when we're constantly getting those hits 4, 5, 6 times a day because it's McDonald's drive-through, taco drive-through, a Coke, it's a this, it's a that, that's where our body can't handle all of that.
I see people lined up at McDonald's talk every day, and you know what? You look at them, and they're just they're obese. You can just tell they're grossly out of shape. They're very unhealthy, and they're eating this food on a some of them on a regular basis. They live on this stuff, and then you wonder why they have so many problems in their life. But the stuff is actually addictive. It is.
I mean, they get on this diet.
Yeah, they get on these diets, and they actually crave it. I talk to people and they say, I crave the stuff. I can't go by there without stopping and getting a large fries and a Big Mac. My God, these guys, these psychopaths making this stuff have really got to figure it out, haven't they?
They really do. I mean, the Lay's commercial, you can't stop at one. You can't just eat one. There's a reason for that. They spend so many millions of dollars in research of our food to figure out what can they put in it that we don't know about that makes it taste good, that make us not be able to stop eating it and wanting it more and more and more. It's psychological warfare.
And it's legal. They can do that and get away with it.
Yes, it is. It's legal.
But they're the same people that kind of got shares in the pharmaceutical industry who got shares in this other industry. And, well, all of a sudden, if you start tying all the pieces together, they all come back to the same place because it's a revolving door. It really is. It's so sad that we're guinea pigs in society and they don't give a flying rat's butt.
They don't.
They want to suck as much money out of us as they possibly can, and then they want to bury us. And even when they bury us now, they're going to get, we're getting a death tax in Canada. Isn't that great? I get taxed when I'm going out of here.
Oh, my gosh, because they didn't take enough of your money yet, right?
They take it all. They want it all. They're going to get it all.
They're going to get it all. Unless the American people or the world people, because it's affecting you guys, it's affecting Europe, it's everywhere. Unless people stand up and learn what their constitution was really meant to be and start fighting instead of holding up their hands and saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it anyway. It's that attitude that got us into this mess.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to keep us in it, you know. Certain parts of Europe don't have genetically modified foods. They disallowed it. Russia doesn't have genetically modified foods. They don't allow it.
Right.
Why is that? It's because enough people spoke up and said, we don't want this. And they vote with their dollars instead of just sitting back and saying, well, there's nothing I can do about it anyway. I'm just one person.
Well, exactly. 97% of Europe doesn't fluoridate their water.
Yes.
Because the people stood up against it and said, we're not going to take it. And when that happens, the government's forced to back down. But what we're seeing right now, I mean, I walk downtown and there's people walking around with a mask on their face outside in fresh air. And I go, this really is an example of just how far our society's been brainwashed and how much of a control mechanism the government really has over us right now. But what I really wanted to hear, you were talking in a couple of your videos there about all the different adverse reactions that you're hearing towards the vaccines right now. I'm going to say in the first hour there, Doc, I can't turn my computer on right now without getting 5 or 6 links from all over the place, from all over the world about reports of adverse reactions. It seems like it's escalating in numbers consistently every day. What are you hearing at your end down there?
We are. So I actually have to say I'm very surprised by the number of my clients that have signed up for the shot, because we usually treat a lot of very intelligent people that do their homework, that don't sit on the side of government, right? But what I'm hearing is so surprising to me, because I'm hearing people say, I got the shot because I want things to go back to normal. I got the shot because I want to travel again. I got the shot because I want to see my grandkids again. I got the shot because they're going to force us anyway with the vaccine passport. And I'm amazed by how people are signing up for an experimental gene therapy that we absolutely have no knowledge about whatsoever of what's going to happen. And they think it's safe. The government is going to take care of us. They wouldn't allow something to come through that's not safe. That's one of the first things that I hear that really frightens me, because the government doesn't do a dang thing for us that's safe. Never has, never will. That's not what they're interested in. And I think it comes down to us being knowledgeable enough to make our own choices. But some of the things that I'm hearing from people that don't feel that it even needs to be reported, which really frightens me. I had a gal in a couple of weeks ago who said, I got my first shot. I had some numbness in my face, some numbness in my lips, and then I couldn't feel my legs for the entire night. I couldn't get up to go to the bathroom because I couldn't feel my legs. And it was probably 48 to 72 hours in before I was totally back to normal and I could walk and I could feel things. And to her, she didn't feel that was a serious enough reaction to report it because it only lasted for 72 hours.
Right.
And that's the problem. People are not reporting these complications that they're having. And so our database will never be accurate. It only catches about 10% of the population of people with complications.
Right.
Because the mindset is it's not that bad of a reaction anyway.
Yeah, the VAERS site is one that I've been going to a lot for information.
Yep, that's where we go as well.
Yeah. And they're saying the same thing, that they're only getting probably 10% of the actual reported adverse reactions from the public. Because like you said, a lot of people just brush it off. But what you're seeing is the body's first reaction to it. It's got to be telling you that, you know, 3-4 months down the road from now, you're going to see some very serious things happening in people's bodies. And that's where we're going with this. We really have to, the rate of transmission too, the reports I've been reading about people that have been vaccinated, well, for one, they are all getting, a lot of them are getting COVID.
Correct.
But two is the ability then to transmit that to another person. Mm-hmm. And that is terrifying to me.
It's very frightening, you know, and at first we, as scientists, we all kept saying, well, this isn't a live virus. How can this virus be shedding? There's no ability for it to shed. Right. And then as more and more studies and more people, experts way more than myself even, are looking at this, what they're finding is that it's not shedding the virus. It's actually transmitting the virus to people. Right. And people don't understand that that's a possibility for that to happen. And they can transmit it to pregnant women, they can transmit it to children, they can transmit it to their elderly families. And I have a lot of clients that have come in and they said, you know what, I'm taking off the mask, I've been fully vaccinated by the shot, and I don't have to worry anymore. And that's the first concern, is like, you clearly don't understand how this shot works, because it doesn't protect you from getting the COVID virus. It's not going to do that. But now they feel like they're protected and they can take the mask off and they're okay with it.
I know people, the government's coming out and telling people that this vaccine, this so-called, doesn't even classify as a vaccine, but this experimental drug will not protect them. Yet people are still rolling up their arms.
Yes.
We're supposed to be intelligent people. I mean, wouldn't that kind of raise a few alarm bells in your head when, especially, you know, if you're pro-vaccine and that's the way you've been all your life, you know, you just might be able to shrug it all off and go, okay, you know, they've been doing this for years. They know what they're doing and blah, blah, blah. Well, I tell you, folks, all you got to do is go look at some of the companies involved in making vaccines and prescription drugs over the years. How many times they've been in court? How many times they've lost? How many are being sued right now? If you go to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board in the States, look at the amount of money that's been paid out since 2008 in injury settlements, which all come with a gag order. Imagine that, eh?
That's right.
You can't tell anybody, but here's your $250,000 now. Have a good life and look after that kid till the day he's dead now, because that's what it's going to take. But you know, one of the most encouraging things, I don't know if you've heard about this, Deb, but I'm a big, big, big promoter of cannabis, okay?
Yes.
I have been for years now, because I've seen the effects on human bodies with my own eyes, and I love what it does. But what I'm reading about reports on the effects of autistic children now being exposed to cannabis oil, it's encouraging. Some of the reports are just mind-boggling. They really are. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it is having an amazing effect on autistic children.
And
I want you to elaborate on that if you've heard about it.
Absolutely. So cannabis oil, or even just CBD oil without the THC component, has a huge effect on our mitochondria. So we have this entire system inside our body called the endocannabinoid system that has not been fed since maybe about 1940-ish, 1950. We haven't been fed any of it because we don't have cannabis or hemp in our diet anymore like we used to have, because hemp, you know, which we all know as ditchweed, grew naturally, and it wasn't a great quality pot, but it was a great ditchweed, right? But those things are in our body when we consume them in plants and all of the plant material that we eat, that fed our endocannabinoid system. And since we don't do that, we have this whole endocrine system that sits aside our body now that hasn't been fed the nutrition that is needed all these years. So when we start adding CBD oil or cannabis oil with THC in it, it starts to feed that endocannabinoid system and starts to decrease inflammation in our body. And it has its capabilities to cure cancer even. But it works beautifully in a lot of these kids who've developed seizure activity as a result of autism, or kids who haven't spoken or are violent because they are in so much pain and they don't know how to tell us that. This helps to reduce that inflammatory response inside their body and can make their lives more comfortable and make it easier for them, you know?
I'm going to fall in love with you. You know that, Doc? You know, when you're talking about cannabis, it's one of the one things I talk about that just brings so much passion out in me about what it can actually do if we embrace this God-given plant put on this planet right now, because we see so much degradation in our planet, in our biosphere, of the fact that our soils now, because we've been spraying chemicals in our soils for how many years, our soils are getting actually to a point now where they will not support growth of normal plant. Right. I mean, if that doesn't shock the crap out of people, excuse my language, shock the crap right out of people, I don't know what will. But, you know, that can all be mitigated simply by planting industrial hemp on these. The effect of growing industrial hemp is something that just, if people could just grasp it, if they could just grasp the fact that instead of spraying these chemicals out of the sky, we got a hold of these airplanes and put millions and millions and millions of seeds in there and sprayed them all over this planet and stop spraying chemicals. 2 or 3 years, we'd mitigate all the chemicals out of our soil. That's the that's the capacity. When you talk about CBDs and CBLs, I have seen personally in my life many people now heal from cancer by strictly by adding cannabis oil to their body, but with the THC, because I believe the THC is essential. It was put into the plant for a reason. And of course, you know that THC is a sedative effect on the body. And when a body is in a state of sedation, it's when it heals its best. So I believe it was put in there for a reason. I'm helping people with cancer, because I have helped quite a few people here with cancer. I give them the real thing, but we also weed them on it in a certain way that they don't get whacked by the THC right off the bat, because that'll scare people, right? Like, oh, wow, what was that? You know, but it can't hurt you. It'll go away. Right. It's not going to hurt your body. You cannot physically overdose on THC. It's impossible. But it is part of the plant, and I believe it's part of the healing process. But when you start talking about this, it's my passion in life. It really is.
That's awesome. You know, and really studying THC for cancer, you really need to use a very high degree of THC to kill the cancer, typically. So you do need that in that component for that thing. But for other people, you know, with kids, you don't necessarily always need the THC. You do for seizures. Nine times out of ten, if you don't have a low amount of THC there, you're not going to have the benefit from seizure activity. Occasionally I've seen it with just straight CBD oil, but normally you need a little THC in there as well. High CBD, low THC for the kids, and it works really, really well. And I agree with you. You know, I looked over the last few years of, you know, I live on a farm and I've inherited this farm, and some years it was farmed for a long time. It wasn't it, but I don't know what was placed on the soil. And I looked at that too, like how can I strip these toxins out of the soil without injuring or damaging the soil itself? And my first thing that I came across was planting hemp, because within a year's time, it will pull Roundup and all kinds of junk that's in there. And you'll have a good soil already after just 1 year of planting hemp. That's all we need, you know? These toxic soils that are depleted of all our nutritional value, now we could have a good quality soil that we could utilize again. And we need to have good quality soil.
Then the root system on the hemp plant goes deep into the soil. It goes a lot deeper than conventional plants. So it starts pulling stuff out six, mm-hmm. 8 feet down that never gets drawn to the surface under conventional methods. So mm-hmm. when you talk about it, then, okay, well, let's feed that to our animals now. Well, that'd be mm-hmm. a good idea, wouldn't it? Man, can you imagine if all our animals on the planet all of a sudden were switched mm-hmm. to raw cannabis as a food? How our health and our society would change, and people would be going, wow, how come I feel mm-hmm. so good? You know, the answers are right in front of our face, folks. They are. Mm-hmm. But we have to embrace this plant. We've got to get over the stigma of it being something bad. I still say that word cannabis to people and they go, oh, the killer drug.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the gateway drug, right? The one that causes psychedelic schizophrenia and everything else.
Off a building, think you're a plane, man.
Yeah.
And of course, along came Reefer Madness. Did you ever see that movie?
I did.
Well, they played that in our school back when I was about 12 years old. They played mm-hmm. it in school as a documentary of the evils. And we're all, of course, snickering in the back. I mean, it was just hilarious. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen that movie, guys, go watch it, because it was an actual documentary made about the evils of the new marijuana plant that was infiltrating our society from Mexico. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, what a joke. And then look at Rich, what Ford wanted to do with his automobiles and the fuel he wanted to produce. You've heard of Rick Simpson before. Have you ever talked to Rick Simpson? I have not talked to him,
but I do know about him and the Rick Simpson oil, and actually suggested it to a friend of mine who had stage 4 cancer a couple of years ago. And it's a phenomenal thing, really.
Well, I got to thank Rick, and I'll thank him to the day I die, because he's the one that got me really turned on to this. I actually got to spend a month with Rick Simpson. I toured all over. We did a tour of British Columbia. Mm-hmm. I set up about 10 different venues, and we talked to universities and schools all over the province. And it was one of the most educational times in my life. That was in 2013.
Awesome.
Since then, I've just been on fire for what cannabis can do for the planet, man.
Not just medically,
but both aspects. I think that, you know, the industrial use of cannabis is just as important as the medical, because they support each other. We really got to get the toxins out of our soil. And
we
our
do.
Soil is saturated. They are.
And
go ahead. Sorry.
And
go ahead.
That's okay. You know, financially, we would not have so many problems if we went back to using hemp. And I think people need to really do their homework on the history of why cannabis was labeled as such a bad thing, because prior to it being bad, we used industrial hemp to make all kinds of things, clothing and fibers and rope and all kinds of things. And for people who are listening that don't know this, our Constitution was written on hemp paper. So this all comes back to the same problems we're having now with big banking, the Rockefellers wanting to control everything, the central banks. This is where it comes from, is a small amount of people want to control everything in the world. It's no different than our healthcare. It's no different than our finances. Everything wants to be controlled by one or two monopolies of people. And that's why we don't get access to things like this, for that specific reason.
Exactly. But now people are starting to get educated about cannabis, and we see a change mm-hmm. coming in society mm-hmm. where people are demanding it, because they really, there's a company there. I talk about this company a lot in Calgary. It's called Just Biofiber, and they came up with sustainable hemp based building products. Mm-hmm. Well, his business is exploding right now. I've got him booked on my show now for the 16th of May, guys. I'm bringing Terry Radford back in, and he's going to tell people just how fast his business is growing. That builders now all over the place are looking at the benefits of using hemp-based product mm-hmm. as opposed to wood. And when you look at it for 20 minutes, doctor, you are going to use cannabis-based mm-hmm. product. Absolutely hemp-based product. There is no comparison. And you know what? Now they're producing them. You can build a house out of hemp-based products for the same price you can normal building products, especially with the rise in wood prices we're seeing. Now get a load of this. They can actually blow the prices of wood for construction out the door mm-hmm. now because of the rise in wood prices. So you're building with something that is not going to burn. It's going to sequester carbon out of your air 24/7. It's going to produce oxygen in your environment 24/7. You're going to build a house that's going to last 400 to 500 years based on other hemp-based products we see around the world, i.e. there's one bridge in Europe that's 600 years old that they're still using today, built with hemp. People go, isn't that something? It gets stronger. It's the only thing in the world that actually gets stronger as it gets older. Wood deteriorates.
it would deteriorate.
Why would you build? And it creates black mold and white mold.
I was just going to say that. 75% of our existing buildings here in the U.S. have a mold problem. If you have a mold problem in your house, and I know many people that do, they don't take care of the mold or they wash it off with bleach and they think it's good. I treat people every day with mold toxicity disease. It's a horrible problem to have. It is difficult to treat. And if you can't get out of a house that's infested with mold, you will never get better. But most people can't afford to fix the house the way they need to. And even if they do, there's no guarantee they're still not going to be sick in that house.
Well, mold, any place you have two pieces of wood touching each other, and that is exposed to any amount of moisture, you're going to have black mold. So it's hiding all over the place in your house, and you don't even know it's there. And
it doesn't take
much. Exactly. You know, when I did a course on black mold, it was about 15, 20 years ago, because I'm a floor layer, and the educating is about the effects of black mold. If you see it in a house, run. And, you know, it is so toxic to people. And yet, like you said, it's in 75% of the buildings because we've been using wood for so long. Mm-hmm. So if you could use a product that doesn't allow the perpetration of black mold or white mold, period, and they've proven this beyond a shadow of a doubt, you could build now with a product that's going to be cheaper than wood based on the prices of what we see with wood right now. Would you not build with that? And that's what Terry's experiencing now. His building, his business is exploding, exploding. And it's absolutely so great to see, man. People are getting educated.
It's amazing to me. I remember shopping with my daughter for her first house and walking into a house that was full of black mold. And I looked at the realtor and I'm like, you should have warned us before we came in here that this house had mold. And I'm like, we shouldn't be in here. We shouldn't be breathing this. We shouldn't be looking at this. This house should be condemned. It should not be sold like this. And you shouldn't be bringing people in here like this. And he just looked at me like he didn't think anything of it. Like, people are going to buy this house and they're going to gut it and they're going to resell it or they're going to do whatever. And I'm like, but you need to tell people, because if you're sensitive to mold or you have immune issue or you have any problems at all, that exposure to black mold could make you sick for the rest of your life.
Yep.
Didn't have any qualms about it.
If you can see it with your own eye, if it's visually, you can see it, then the problem is way beyond.
It's worse. If you got that house to the studs, you're still going to have a mold problem in that house.
Yeah, I was one person away from having 17 houses built here last year with hemp-based products, and the chief of the band, actually, because his connections, believe it or not, I heard to a couple of the companies, was the only person that stood against it. Their environmental guy was all on board because they're starting to look at the property. I mean, up here in the North Coast, we're living in a rainforest.
Yeah.
So black mold in Prince Rupert, especially. You cannot find a house in Prince Rupert that's over 20 years old that doesn't have major mold problems. Major in Prince Rupert right now as I speak. So if we switch that to using hemp in society, guys, imagine how much healthier your homes would be.
Yeah.
And not only that, we create a brand new industry. That means we're going to have to grow. We're going to have to grow lots of industrial hemp. Well, you know what happens when you grow hemp on an acre of land for a couple of years, and then you plant a conventional product on that land. Watch the difference in growth rate. Watch the amount of nutrient. The amount of nutrients are in that plant, as opposed to a field, say, that you're growing beside that field that wasn't treated with hemp. And then you test those two things. It'll blow your mind because they're doing those stuff now. So it's like everything we talk about, Doc, it's a win-win-win. It's just educating the public, getting them enthusiastic about this as an answer to so many of our problems, period.
Exactly. And if you have a safe house that you're living in, a healthy house, then you're healthier. And then you don't have to worry about developing Alzheimer's disease, dementia, Parkinson's, cancer. Why do you think we see such a high cancer rate happening right now? Because we have toxic food, we have toxic buildings, and we have no way of truly getting this stuff out of our bodies in a manner that's helpful in a fast rate before there's more damage to your cells that happen that allow this illness to continue to flourish inside your body.
Exactly. One of the things that I've done in my body that I found just incredible is chaga mushroom. And I've been drinking it now. I've been drinking it now for about 7 years, Doc. And when I started drinking chaga, I won't talk about it too long, but I could literally go on for about an hour with Shaggy because I'm sharing with people in my community, and I'm hearing it all the time, the amazing mm-hmm. effects it's having on people's bodies. But one mm-hmm. of the things that it did for me is it got rid of arthritis in my body. I was mm-hmm. starting to get real stiffness in my fingers and mm-hmm. pain in my fingers and pain in my hands. It's about 7 years now I've been using Chaga, and I can honestly say that it's all gone away. I'm 66 right now, and I'm still playing hockey with 25-year-olds in the rec league in Tara.
Good for you.
And I am not going to stop. The only way they're going to get me off the ice is in a stretcher. Chaga has made an incredible difference in my life, folks, and I've talked about it on my shows many times. They consider Chaga to be like one of the top superfoods in the world. Mm-hmm. There's a scale called the Orca scale, Doc, and I'm sure you're aware of it. It rates and engages all the nutritional values of just about every plant on planet Earth today. And if you put them on a skyline, you'd have all these different things like blueberry, everything that's beneficial. You'd have all these buildings going along the skyline. And then all of a sudden you come to the Empire State Building. And on the side of the Empire State Building, it would say Chaga. That's how good Chaga is. It's one of the best things you could put in your body, Doc. So
I've had a lot of patients that have switched over from coffee to Chaga because they wanted to get off coffee, but they still needed a little bit of something that made them feel good and tasted good and all of that. And they've switched over to Chaga and they love it and they don't miss their coffee at all.
Gives you incredible energy.
Yeah.
What I do before I go play hockey, I'm a goalie. Just before I go on the ice, and this is my little secret, I shouldn't be telling people mm-hmm. this, but I take about 4 ounces of Chaga and I put it in a bottle of water. And just before I go on the ice, I chug that down, and I'm telling you, I get on the ice, and it's like, holy smokes, I hope I don't blow up my heart.
That's a little biohack tip, by the way.
It gives you incredible, incredible energy. And I still drink my coffee, Doc. I've got to admit, I haven't got rid of all the bad things in my life, so I do like my cup of coffee in the morning, but I put my Chaga in my coffee in the morning, so.
Perfect. There's ways to do healthy coffee, right? Like we can do organic coffee so we know the beans don't have mold toxins on them and biotoxins and all the other junk. There are ways to do these things that we love in a healthy fashion so we don't have to give up every single thing that we love. There are just better options of how to do them. That's all.
So in the last couple, 3 weeks, how many adverse effects have you actually been hearing from your patients as far as these vaccines go?
We've probably heard about 15 different ones. The majority of what we're hearing is consistent. It's neurological things that people are getting. A lot of people are getting cold and flu-like symptoms, COVID-type symptoms. High fever seems to be very common. Numbness and tingling are the biggest thing that we're seeing. Some joint pain, some fatigue that's lasting more than a couple of days, 3 weeks for some people, it's lasting. I have had one patient with a blood clot, was not from the J&J shot. It was from, I believe it was Moderna, which I've now been starting to see a few other statistics coming out about Moderna having some clotting factors to it as well. Right. Because we treat a lot of patients with chronic illness, we're seeing a lot of their chronic illnesses be re-triggered. People who were what we call kind of remission, where they haven't had a flare up in more than 3 months and they've been doing really good without having to use a lot of herbs or antibiotics or medications or anything like that, antivirals. And now all of a sudden they're getting a flare up again of their tick-borne disease, Lyme disease symptoms, their toxic mold symptoms, a lot of brain fog, a lot of brain feeling like it's on fire.
Yeah, I've been hearing that a lot.
Yeah, those are a lot of the symptoms that we've been hearing. And unfortunately, I have a lot of my clients who say, gosh, I have to confess, I'm so sorry, I know how you feel about this, but I took the shot. And I'm like, well, everybody has a choice. It's okay. You know, my role is not to condemn anybody for wanting to do it if that's what they want to do. We're a free country as of today. You have mm-hmm. that right. But I feel bad for those people who've made that choice off of misinformation, because if you're only watching the traditional news media, you're hearing nothing bad about these shots and everything bad about a virus that really isn't as bad as we think. And that's where we're having problems. People need to look at the mamm.org site and start finding this information, start going to Robert Kennedy Jr.'s website and seeing that information, listening to radio stations like yours that bring people on to talk about these kinds of things, because that's where you can then make your decision with the right information or all the information.
It's so critical that, you know, as a free society, we are fully informed. And unfortunately, that is not happening in society anymore, that people are only hearing one side of the narrative. That really should have people asking questions where we're not allowed to hear opposing opinions about this particular issue. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very critical issue in our society right now. And that, like I said, government in Canada, the CBC, the CTV, completely controlled by the government. You will never hear anything negative. It's always positive, positive, positive. And what we get now is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every hour, COVID, 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 COVID. Mm-hmm. You can't turn on a radio or TV station mainstream and not have them talking about COVID. You can't hear the government come and get your vaccines, guys. We have not bypassed. The government comes out and says we have not bypassed any of the normal safety procedures in establishing these vaccines as being safe. This is the statement right from the Canadian government. We have not bypassed any of the normal procedures. Well, wait a second. Hold on. What about animal studies? Mm-hmm. What about, okay, explain that to me, but they can't, you know, we're really in Canada. We've really got some big problems coming here. But the good thing about it, as I was saying in the first hour there, Deborah, yesterday in Montreal, we saw the biggest turnout of Canadian people on the street since the end of the Second World War, since Victory Day in Montreal. They've never seen crowds like they saw yesterday. And those crowds are going to start growing exponentially because that everybody that was there yesterday, I was talking to people that were live seeing it, Debbie, and they said the energy they felt in that crowd was like nothing they've ever felt before in their life. The whole thing was miles of one incredible energy is what people were describing it as, where people are all of a sudden saying, hey, we've had enough. We're not going to take any more of this bull crap. We're standing up. You watch next week, Debbie, there's going to be 200,000. The week after that, there's going to be 400,000. I think Canadians are getting to the tipping point right now.
Yes, so. I think so, too. I've seen some of that as well. And the U.S. needs to do the same thing. We need to get to that tipping point to say enough is enough. There's more of us than there are of our government. Exactly. And we forget that our government works for us. Exactly.
Where did that all get put aside, man?
Yeah, somehow that got totally pushed to the side, that we think that we're supposed to do everything they tell us. No, we're supposed to do what our minds tell us, what our brains tell us to do, and they're supposed to do that for us as well. And I hear the same thing. You know, we haven't taken shortcuts. Everything is safe. People, it's not. There are no animal studies that have been conducted on this so-called vaccine, which is not a vaccine. It meets absolutely none of the criteria for a vaccine. If you don't believe me, you can go look it up and look up the criteria for the vaccine and see what this shot has in common with a vaccine, because it doesn't have anything in common with a vaccine. It doesn't create herd immunity, which I find interesting. They're all talking about herd immunity now, because a year ago when we said we're going to develop herd immunity within the next 2 months with the number of people that are supposedly positive with COVID, and Fauci came out and said, no, we can't get herd immunity from this illness. Wait a minute, what?
What?
Barry. What?
How do we not get herd immunity with this illness? We Barry. Get herd immunity with any virus.
Barry, there's a question in the people's internet chat for Deborah.
Okay. Can you read it to me?
No, it's too long. Go ahead. You can go in chat. Nobody's criticizing you, okay?
I have a real
hard time.
It wouldn't
be the first time.
Well, this is something that's not one of my strong points, but it says, question for Dr. Deb. Can we speak about high-dose intravenous vitamin C for Lyme?
Yes, we can. Okay. So high-dose intravenous vitamin C, we had a doctor who was given the Nobel Peace Prize for his work on high-dose vitamin C in cancer way back in the 50s. Might have been even a little bit earlier than 50s, might have been closer to the 40s. But he did the research on high-dose vitamin C. People can use it in cancer. We use it in viruses. We use it in infection all the time. Very safe to use. There's only one restriction. If you have something called the G6PD deficiency, which is a genetic deficiency on how you metabolize sugar in your body, like glucose, then you have to be very careful. You can't do really high doses. And we're talking high dose in cancer. We're using anywhere between 100 and 150 milligrams of vitamin C IV at a time.
Okay.
A good level of high dose vitamin C is about 50 to 75. We know at 50 to 75, we don't get an opposite reaction. So under 75 milligrams of vitamin C, you're going to get an anti-inflammatory reaction. Above that, we can produce more of an inflammatory reaction. And some people say we shouldn't go that high anymore. When I first started, we were giving a lot of those high doses like that for cancer treatment. And now we've tweaked it down a little bit. We stay about 75 milligrams to 100 milligrams. The key is you cannot give it by itself. It has to be given with other minerals because of the damage it can do to the veins. If you don't have, we call it osmolarity. If you don't have the osmolarity right, it can be very acidic on the veins and cause problems for you. So we always mix it with other things besides vitamin C, like B vitamins and magnesium and calcium and that kind of thing. But this can be used very efficiently in any kind of chronic illness. The other thing that we can use to treat COVID, which we haven't been using readily, is ozone therapy and hydrogen peroxide IVs. Those things work very well. Colloidal silver IV in a sterile fashion. All mm-hmm. of these things can be used to treat COVID and very effectively.
Hmm. Yeah. I can't pronounce that one. Ivermectin?
Ivermectin.
Yeah. Well, you know, the reports on that and the effectiveness of that and how much it actually would cost for us to treat society with that, it, you know, 10 or 15 pennies. Cents a dose, right? Mm-hmm. But pennies. No, we got to stick an experimental vaccine in you.
right. You yes.
Know, in Canada, if you look at the numbers in Canada, Deborah, over the last year and a half, if you look mm-hmm. at 2019, 2018, widespread, infectious disease deaths in Canada. What you're seeing in 2020 is basically no rise at all mm-hmm. in the numbers. The only difference that we've seen is what we hear about on the radio. Yep. I ask people all the time, how many people do you know that have actually been affected by this? And I get the same answer all the time. People say, nobody. Well, I say, doesn't that sound kind of like strange if this is a so-called pandemic? Well, mm-hmm. if you take dem out of the middle of pandemic, what do you have, Deborah? You have panic.
Panic.
But the fear that they've unleashed on society, especially on our children. And this is the part about this whole thing that absolutely I'm banging my head against the wall when I think about, my heart's broken when I
Barry,
think about
do you mind if I ask something?
Our children.
Do you mind if I ask something, Barry? Yeah, there's been a guest on the People's Internet Network several times in the past. I haven't heard from him in 2 or 3 years, but he's under the argument that most everything that we deal with as far as disease comes from a lack of sodium.
There is some truth to that, because in our deficiencies, zinc, sodium, calcium, if we're deficient in a lot of those minerals, we can't fight illnesses and viruses and bacteria and things like that. And oftentimes we will see people deficient. And you'll do a traditional blood level at the lab and your sodium will look like it's normal. But when you do a deeper dive and you look at how much is available on a cellular level, it's completely different. And many people are deficient as well.
I've heard there's estimates like 80% of the world's population is
Vitamin D is the same thing.
Vitamin D deficient
is a major problem we have. And it's so important that you add vitamin D to your diet, especially in the wintertime. Outside, if you're exposing yourself to the sun for any length of time in the summer, you're getting the vitamin D your body needs. But in the winter,
not sodium.
So it's really important that you add it to your diet.
I just got a message from a listener. It wasn't sodium, but it was magnesium.
Magnesium. Well, that's one that I add to my diet, and zinc I'm adding to my diet.
And that's why we have so much hypertension, is because we have a magnesium deficiency going on. If people had enough magnesium in their bodies, we would not see so much hypertension, and migraines as well would go away if we had plenty of magnesium.
Another thing that people can really look into, Doctor, that I've looked into a bit, is the amount of in the earth, on the planet today, I think we have 237 different sugars. But yes. only seven of those sugars actually support cell-to-cell communication mm-hmm. in the body. And there's companies now that are actually isolating those seven sugars and adding it as a supplement to the body. Mm-hmm. And it's having very positive effects on people. Yeah. I don't know if you've looked into that. For sure. That's something I've been looking into.
Mm-hmm. And sugar is so toxic for us. You know, it's one of the biggest addictive chemicals we have on the planet next to heroin, but it's legal. And right. people consume it multiple times every day. And that is one of the number one things that feed cancer is sugar.
Well, yeah, our bodies love that. They love an acidic, oxygen-starved mm-hmm. environment, and that's where cancer thrives.
Exactly.
You know that you've got to be aware that in 1939, a doctor was given a Nobel Peace Prize for simply discovering that raising your alkaline levels in your body, mm-hmm. that all cancers will die. Do you want to speak on that for a minute, or could you?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of truth to that. We talk a lot with clients about diet and alkaline versus acidic diet. And so we don't directly treat cancer, but we will work with people who want to do IV therapy with another cancer specialist, because that's a whole nother specialty in and of itself, right?
Right.
But when you have an alkaline diet, because you're consuming a lot of dark green leafies, you're not consuming foods that create a lot of acidity in the body, like red meat, things like that, your body can create or help with inflammation. The root of every disease is an inflammatory condition in the body. So if the body becomes more alkaline, you have reduced inflammation and different viruses, bacteria can't survive. As you said, right. cancer can't survive either. And there's very easy ways of measuring your alkalinity. You could pee on a strip and it'll tell you how alkaline or how acidic your body is. And right. some people will measure multiple times throughout the day, so they adjust their diet based on their alkalinity. And it can be very easy to do. It's not complicated. And a lot of people will feel much better. People with fibromyalgia oftentimes do much better on an alkaline diet. The inflammation goes away, their swelling goes away, their lymph system drains properly, and they feel much, much better.
A question in the chat there. Lady's asking about magnesium for seizures. Mm-hmm. Is it good for seizures? And that's the question.
Yeah, magnesium can be good for seizures. There are multiple forms of magnesium. And so for magnesium citrate is what we use if we have a constipation issue. But if we're trying to get magnesium into the cells, you want to use a magnesium glycinate or a magnesium malate. That is going to get into the cells quicker. You're not right. going to eliminate it through your body as quickly as a citrate form. And then it can help a lot. And with seizure patients, we usually tell them or ask them to get a nutrient panel done. Draw a nutrient panel. You can do it by blood. You can do a hair mineral analysis, whatever is easier for you that you can get your hands on, and see what you're deficient in. And then you can pinpoint specific for that person. Because for every one of us with our diets being different, those mineral amounts are going to be different. So it's better to test the person before you give them large doses of something, because then you'll know what they need.
Interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm.
You'll find this interesting. I had this conversation with Dr. Kaufman on Friday about the virus itself. And he has worked with HIV patients. And one of the things he brought to me that I haven't heard this being told yet, and you may have heard this already, is that we truly don't have a COVID virus right now. That the virus has never been isolated.
I've heard that many times.
Yeah. What they've isolated is a genetic difference that came from a completely different virus, or possibly no virus. We don't know. But this genetic sequence came together from a computer-generated code and program that spit it out. You know, they put this droplet from the lungs that they took out of someone that was infected with something that we're calling COVID right now. And the computer spit out this genetic modified technology and said, hey, we have this new disease, but we really don't even have a new disease. And this is why, in his theory, this is why the PCR tests are not validated, is because we don't really have a virus. And if we don't really have a virus, what is the PCR test actually calculating? And he actually brought up a really good point that I don't see a lot of people talking about either, is with the PCR tests, we don't have a calculated error rate.
Right.
And if we don't have a calculated error rate, then how do we know what's actually positive and what's actually negative? We don't.
When they ramp it up to 40 cycles, how many false positives are they actually getting?
Exactly.
And this is what they're mandating the changes, draconian changes in our society over.
Right, right. You know, I spoke out about this early on before they shut the country down, and I was slammed. And even from my own family, my brother-in-law said, God, this is terrible. I can't believe you're talking like this. Don't you trust the CDC? And I said, I haven't trusted the CDC in 20 years. And I understand it's new to a lot of people to question the CDC or the government. But in my world, we've been questioning them forever because we treat alternatively. So we've seen the mishaps of drugs being brought to the manufacturer mm-hmm. and put out on the put out on the country, only to be recalled a year or two later. And then you find out that the FDA knew all along that it was going to cause these problems, but they let it come through anyway. And this happens time after time after time. This is not just a one-time fluke that a drug goes to market, knowing darn well there was going to be all these deaths that occurred from it. But the FDA did some magic. Somebody paid somebody, let it out so they could get their research money back. They made billions of dollars. And then when it was pulled, they didn't care because they already made their billions of dollars. Even if they got sued, they're not going to pay that much out. What are they going to pay out? A couple million dollars? Well,
just the price of doing business.
Exactly. They calculate and factor all that in when they bring a drug to market, that they're going to be sued and so much is going to be lost. And that's okay.
Every prescription drug that's sold on the market today, believe it or not, a tiny little couple pennies are taken off, and this mm-hmm. is a fact, are taken mm-hmm. off that prescription drug, and they're sent to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board.
Yep.
And, of course, since 2008, that board has paid out, I believe it's approximately $6.5 billion in settlements, mm-hmm. and every one of them comes with a gag order.
Yes, so many people win.
Pennies. That's just pennies to them.
Yes.
I mean, how many billions they make? How many mm-hmm. billions? $500 billion a year combined in the pharmaceutical right. industries. So paying out a little bit here and there, that's just the cost of business, and they don't yes. really care. But it comes with a gag order, and that's got
to – It does.
You got to ask yourself why.
There's
and
another
that's
question.
Just a fraction of the number of people that actually get compensated. Exactly. Because the majority of the people never even get to vaccine injury court. They're not allowed there. They won't be heard. And some of our experts that have spoke in vaccine court aren't even allowed to be there anymore. They've been arrested. They've been imprisoned mm-hmm. wrongly, not even given charges. I mm-hmm. mean, there's so much underhanded stuff that goes on in this vaccine injury court. It's unbelievable.
There's another question for you, Barry.
Go ahead, Steve. I got another question.
Yes, there is.
Okay. Oh, I can't read all that.
No, that's not a question.
Okay. What's the question?
Patty.
Okay.
Patty Broughton Boston.
Okay. Question for your guest. Heard of.
Have you heard of the Thrive Movement?
Thrive Movement.
Yes.
Have you heard of the Thrive Movement?
The Thrive Movement. Yes. I have heard of the Thrive Movement. And I think it's a very good movement. I think people should get involved with it as much as they can. You know, we need to vet the movements we get involved with. But I think if people don't start to get involved, we're not going to need to get involved because our government's going to tell us exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And we're not going to have the freedoms anymore.
Okay. Well, then quickly tell me what the Thrive Movement is because I've never heard of it. So educate me real quick.
So
somebody. I'm supposed to know these kind of things. Go ahead.
Yes. So the Thrive Movement is really about looking, from what I'm understanding it, okay, because I may be understanding a different Thrive Movement. I'll preface that. But it's really about looking at our country, looking at genetics, looking at how things are being engineered, and getting people to understand exactly where things come from. I might be wrong on that. It's Patty, you said, right?
Yeah.
That was talking to us. I may be wrong on that. There may be a different movement that she's talking about as well. But it's really about looking at innovations around the world that are coming to light. I don't know if it was the Thrive Movement that this came out of, but, you know, the med beds that people are talking about. Mm-hmm. Some of those things are being looked at in the different movements and healing modalities and things like that that are going to come to us. And that's going to be a great thing. If we can get those things out, it'll be wonderful.
Yeah, more the sooner the better, Deborah.
Exactly. You know,
this hour has gone by really quick. Mm-hmm. I actually had a couple things wrote down here that I was going to ask you, but I'm not going to get time today because I'm going to give you a minute here to tell people where they can find you and a little bit about your clinic, and then mm-hmm. I'll have to let you go.
All right. Awesome. So I am Dr. Deborah Muth. I own Serenity Healthcare Center, which is in Wisconsin in the U.S. You can reach me there. You can find me also on Facebook at Serenity Healthcare Center Facebook. I don't do much on Twitter or Instagram. I'm pretty much Facebook. We do also have a YouTube page, Serenity Healthcare Center YouTube page, and we post a lot of different educational videos there as well. So you feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to have conversations and chat with people. And this has been a pleasure. I really appreciate being here. And I want to tell people not to be afraid. When we have a drug that's 100% curable, as ivermectin is, we right. don't need to be afraid. We just need to work with people that can get us those medications. They can come out of India very easily. They can come. We get a lot of ours from the Canadian pharmacies. If our pharmacies here won't dispense them, we actually prescribe through the Canadian pharmacies for our patients. But there are ways to get this in an easy fashion, and we don't need to be afraid of this so-called virus that's out there, if it truly is even a virus at this point.
Well, you know, Deborah, this has been a real pleasure to talk with you for the last hour here. I knew I was going to enjoy this conversation today, and I have immensely. And my chat rooms have lit up, so maybe I can get you back here in the near future and we can continue this conversation. I want to do that because you share the same passion for cannabis as I do. And I know we could talk an hour just on that subject alone. So maybe Absolutely. You'll do me the pleasure and we'll have you back here in the near future.
I would be happy to.
Okay, well, I've got to thank you for coming in and giving me your time today, and we'll have you back here real soon. And I'm going to take a break here for a few minutes, folks, and I'll be back with Billy Joyce. Hang around.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Deborah.
Bye-bye.
Crucified
welcome back to Third Hour, folks. And thanks again, Dr. Deborah, for coming in. I know we all enjoyed that, and I'll have her back here real soon. I've been kind of really looking forward to talking to Billy here. Billy Joyce has joined me for the third hour. I haven't had a chance to talk to Billy for a while, and kind of looking forward to this conversation this week, because I know Billy is just as concerned as I am what we see going on in this country. And I think Billy's going to get back and do a little bit more on the internet here, I've been hearing rumors of. How are you doing, Mr. Joyce? Welcome back to the show.
I'm doing well, Barry. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I probably will end up doing some stuff. I was going to get started on something this week, but then we recently got a contract through the radio station that I work at to produce eight series, like an eight show series for seniors. So I'm busy. I host it and I produce it and I go get all the information and do interviews for it. So that's kind of got me. That's got me busy probably for the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Huh. Well, what kind of show for seniors are we talking about, Billy?
For example, the first show I did a quick run through of the different federal government programs that exist for seniors.
Okay.
Like assistance, for example, for people that provide home care for seniors, for example, or relatives that provide end of life care for seniors, for example. I don't have a list of programs in front of me. Another thing that I do is I record stories that are told by seniors today about life back in the, late 19th century, early 20th century where I live. And of course, there's an educative component to it.
Of course, there would be.
There's like a humorous component to it. And then I always try to present music that's geared towards the topics at hand. So it takes a bit of work, a bit of preparation. Overall, it pays well for the radio station. It pays well for me. So,
cool. Well, that's always a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I took that on, so there's no need in taking more on than I can actually commit to.
Right, and you're pretty well running this station now, correct?
I'm the only full-time staff member. I'm looking for two summer students. We got approved for two summer students through the province of Nova Scotia. But it's hard to find workers. People seem to be okay with just staying home and collecting CERB or staying home and collecting whatever it is students are allowed to collect in socialist Canada nowadays.
Mm. What a society we're conditioning, eh, Billy?
It's hard to believe, Barry.
It is. I mean, you know where this is going. I know where this is going. But try and explain that to a common person who's sitting there, like you said, taking $2,000 checks from the government going, wow, this government is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And boy, I'm going to get this guy back in because I can sit here and play games all day long and they just keep sending me money. Isn't this great? They just don't get it, Billy.
You know, I've always been a fan of what they sold me as capitalism. But it seems that the capitalism we have today is not really capitalism. It's like an oligarchy. It's like a system where the people that control every aspect of the economy are in bed with the politicians, and they're the only ones that are allowed to thrive. And the politicians will pass laws and policies, and they'll pass like regulations within industries that cripple the local guy from doing anything different than what the big guys are doing. Mm-hmm. And what really made me realize this was lobster season started where I live. Now, last summer, when the pandemic was new and things were shut down worldwide, I could go to the local lobster pound and buy lobster at $4.50, $5 a pound, which made it very affordable. I could feed my family a feed of lobster for under $40 and have leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's, right now they opened up, it's $10 a pound.
Mm.
And they're not allowed to sell it locally for less than that price because that's the price that distributors are giving them. So you get the Clearwaters of the world and the people that are below Clearwater, between Clearwater and the fishermen, and they're giving the fishermen $10 a pound and then they're flipping it to Clearwater. Clearwater's probably selling it on the global market for anywhere from $19 to $25 a pound.
Right. Well, if I was to buy a piece of lobster here in Terrace, I mean, $40, I'd probably get an arm or something, man. It's just ridiculous. It really is.
Right.
Are you allowed to go actually fish them yourself, Billy?
No, that's just it.
You're not allowed to go out and stick a net in the ocean and catch a lobster?
No, I can, but I can get a fine for every lobster I have. I can go do
what?
It. I can go down the shore here. Like, we've done it. I've seen my kids go do it without realizing that it's illegal. Like, my kids were another group of kids with dip nets. They went down to where they usually swim at low tide, and there were lots of lobster. So they went in with their like shoes on, and they were catching lobster with dip nets. And they brought them home, and we ate them. But if we had got caught, we were facing probably thousands of dollars in fines.
Well, I didn't realize that the government had control over the lobsters in the ocean in your province, man. That's kind of pretty barbaric, if you ask me, Billy.
Well, listen to this one. Like, the local. So what they're doing now, that the fishermen are cluing in to how our financial system works and how the legal system works and how companies work and whatever else. So they're setting up limited liability companies around what used to be sole proprietorship fishing industries, which is smart. And they're opening up their own little lobster pound, like this guy that I was buying it from for $4.55 a pound last year. The problem is they can't say, okay, well, I caught 2,000 pounds today, so I'm going to take 1,800 pounds and sell it to the middle guy that's going to sell it to the Chinese for $25 a pound. Mm. I'm going to sell 1,800 to them at $10. But I'm going to take 200 pounds and put it aside and sell it to my loyal local customers for the same price I was selling it to them last year, which is $5. They're not allowed to do that. Why? Because the government passes a policy that regulates what you call buyers and sellers within the fishing industry. So it's they say it's capitalism, but it isn't, because the local guy can't set a lower price to compete with the other local guy on the local market, because they have to respect the price that's on the bigger international macro market. So everything's become macroeconomics now. There's no longer microeconomics. That's why they get rid of the small town farmer.
Right.
Everything gets amalgamated under this big corporation that handles all the milk in Atlantic Canada.
Yeah. Well, that's the same with all small businesses in Canada right now are under attack, Billy. Big box stores are the rule of the day now, and that's where they're pushing. Everybody's been pushing that direction.
You know, it's not equal opportunity when the Irvings have a complete monopoly on the forestry industry, the oil industry, and now the media in Atlantic Canada. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't break into those industries and compete, because the Irvings are so huge that even though they suffer a loss in the media component, they can make it up with the money that they make from the oil or naval ships. I mean, you look at what kind of contract they get, $40 billion or so to build naval ships for the Canadian government.
Yeah. Well, they're in bed, man, and they've got their ticket. And right. It's just, you know, we have no control over that now in our society. None.
Well,
it's all been taken away.
They call them the Laurentian elite. Apparently, it goes all the way back to the 18th century that these ties were made between the ruling class and the Irvings and the Sobeys of the world and the Thompsons that control Reuters and
those people behind the curtain that we never see, Billy.
Right.
Great question, Billy. Are you going to run again? Please say yeah. We need you, because they're going to call an election here. You know that.
I can't do it to my family.
You can't, eh? Okay.
And I've got other reasons. If Maxime Bernier had held a leadership convention and allowed someone like Mark Friesen or Salim Mansour to throw their name in the hat and actually hold a leadership convention, and the winner wins and they're the leader of the party, I may have considered it. If I had gotten even a phone call from Maxime Bernier over the last year and a half, I probably would have considered it.
I hate to hear that, Billy, because we got no other choice right now. I know what you're saying, and I've heard it, and it's something I wish that could be addressed, because right now, what choice do we have in Canada? I mean, everything else is completely controlled by globalist entities that are really hell-bent on destroying this country. And right now, we don't have any kind of representation in Ottawa. None. I'm going to add to what you say. I agree that there should have been a leadership convention called, and anybody who wants to throw their hat into the ring should be allowed to be given that opportunity. I agree with that. I agree. So what can we do to correct that? Or Laura Lynn.
Laura Lynn, Tyler Thompson. Imagine Laura Lynn, Tyler Thompson.
The leader. Can you imagine? Oh, man. With that kind of – with the protection she'd have as actually being an actual political opponent to the government, that added protection on Laura, she'd turn this country upside down, Billy. And I agree. I agree.
Right.
But what are we going to do right now, Billy? We've really got we're really up against the wall. This government has got the NDPs and the Liberals and the Conservatives. They're all the same snake, Billy. So what are we going to do?
Here's the biggest problem is that because of the party system, all the parties are going to protect the system. They're going to protect what's already there. The Conservatives don't want the People's Party in there any more than Liberals do. I was informed, and unfortunately I can't prove it, but we're hoping that next election they make the same error. I was told that last federal election, Elections Canada sent out mail-in ballots to deceased people, and it's because it was sent to the civic address where someone bought a house from someone who died, from someone's wife, whose husband died 10 years before they even bought the house.
I heard reports of that, Billy. That's something that's got to be corrected. The Dominion voting machines have to be taken out of the equation.
Right. So while that isn't, okay, well, you look at what's going on in the States, I'm hoping that what's going on in Arizona
and may
shed some light on the whole thing. I mean, they're checking the ballots there for watermarks and creases.
What's going on there could turn the whole apple cart upside down. You know that, Billy. In the next couple of weeks could turn the whole apple cart upside down.
Right. But if it doesn't, well, then we face – because I've been pondering the 1,000 votes I got in that last federal election. And the more I think of it and the more I think of how many people I talked to and how many hands I shook and how many people I know personally that were fed up with – there's no way I only got 1,000 votes.
We know that.
There's no way. It just doesn't make – and it was identical to what they were saying in the polls prior to. Right. So it makes me wonder if the whole friggin' thing is not rigged.
Of course it is, Billy. It's not an election. It's an election.
Right. So if the whole thing is rigged, can Maxim, even though he's got the best people, pull it off? I'm reluctant to say where it is I'm leaning that Canada has to go or Canadians have to go or what Canadian patriots are going to have to do. Mm. But are you familiar with what Duke Willis has been preaching for 3 years?
Mm. I haven't listened to Duke talk for a long, long time.
I tuned him out because I did not want to end up on the road that he was painting. But the more I see it happening, it's like, well, what do you do when you're at a point in Canada where the police are putting up fences around churches?
Right, and allowing mosques to operate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile,
piss people off, Billy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, UFC is packing arenas in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, yeah. Or Costco stores are wall to wall, and you can't have a church service. Come on, Billy. We know what this is all about and where it's going. It's what we're seeing, though. What we saw yesterday in Montreal, Billy, was the most inspiring thing I've seen in the last year. We had that many people on the street in a unified voice saying that we've had enough. I think you're going to see some crazy numbers coming out of Montreal here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, Billy. I really do.
Well,
it was over 100,000 on the street yesterday. That's being modest on the estimates.
You read my mind in a sense, because that's happening in a lot of cities across Canada right now.
It's growing exponentially.
Even here in Atlantic Canada, truckers last week blocked the border between Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. The problem is the news covered it for maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and that was it. It was just a tiny little story with no consequence and made them look like they were a bunch of idiots going against COVID-19 measures.
Well, look, the estimates yesterday on the street in Montreal, minimum 100,000, Billy. I've heard, some people think it's as high as 300,000 people were on the street, but there wasn't a murmur about it on mainstream media last night. Not even a murmur. Imagine that. Imagine that, folks. I mean, come on, Billy. Come on, man, as Joe would say.
Do you think they'll – how can I put it? if those 200,000, 300,000 keep showing up every weekend and they keep growing and the powers that be want to shut it down, what do you think would happen in Montreal or Quebec City? Because Quebecers, you know how they're known for being able to push the limits when it comes to standing for their rights and freedoms.
I think if you push these people too much, you're going to see violence on the streets. They're not going to take it, Billy. And when you have that many people unified, the rest of the country is going, hey, wait a second. And when you get that many people demonstrating it, the people that are sitting there watching this, they're going, wait a second. No, this just ain't a couple people standing behind A&W going, hey, there's something wrong with the government. This is thousands and thousands and thousands of people all of a sudden going that we've had enough. We're not going to take this anymore. I believe that a time for civil disobedience is here, that all we have to do to stop this is say no. And people, I think we're going to get close to that tipping point, Billy. I really honestly feel that way right now, that we're seeing a change in the general attitude in Canada. Go ahead.
I think everyone is seeing as well, like last summer, everyone spent their summer doing what they asked. Okay, it was supposed to be 2 weeks
to flatten the curve. Yeah,
flatten the curve.
All 50,000 people are going to die. Yeah,
go ahead. And then it turned into 2 months, and then it turned into the whole summer. It's like we went on vacation and had to go through checkpoints and had to submit our names and sign our names everywhere we went and make appointments for water slides and make appointments for this and make appointments for that.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so we did it. Now, then everything goes back to quote-unquote normal from October to January. And every morning I'm reading the report from the government of Nova Scotia. So I'd say up until about a month and a half ago, from October 1st until about a month and a half ago, in Nova Scotia we had 700 confirmed cases, one death. So one person died out of 700 confirmed cases. I did the math one morning live on the radio, and sure enough, the very next, I think it was 2 days later, 28 cases, 32 cases, 50-some cases. Now we're into, I think it's the 70s and 80s now every day. And I'm like, don't you find it weird that we rolled out 300,000 vaccines, over 40,000 are second doses. We're heading into the summer, which is usually when the flu kind of settles down. And it just so happens that the only people that are allowed to assemble are the big corporations are allowed to have meetings up to 25 people.
Yep.
Casinos are allowed up to 50% capacity. Yep. Bars with BLTs are allowed up to 50% capacity. But churches, 25% with a cap at 100 people. So even if the church fits 500 people, you're only allowed 100, which is 20%. Mm-hmm. So I told the local parishioners, I was like, man, you guys should just apply to Gaming Nova Scotia, get some VLTs in the sacristy and sell the wine at $1.50 a cup. And you're good to go. You can fill it up 50% capacity.
Hey, Dave Delisle was agreeing with what you said about the leadership situation with the PPC there. Billy, he wants you to know that in chat. That there should be a convention. Because there is people that, I mean, I can imagine, like I said, Laura Lynn, or there's a few other people that would really be good candidates for that. Even somebody like Salim Mansour or Mark Friesen are incredible people. And I think they should all have a shot at it. But what can we do about that situation right now? I don't think there's anything that can be done. But I think Mac should listen to what's being said about this. I really do. Because I'm sure he's hearing it.
That's just it. It seems that Max is always in campaign mode. It seems like he doesn't stop long enough to listen to what other people in the party are saying. It's just, it's go, 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 go. It's like, go, 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 get on the train and follow, go, go, go. Mm. But, you know, sometimes as a leader, you got to stop and listen. You're given 2 years and 1 month for a reason.
Yeah, I think that's very important. So, but
I've been guilty of talking too much and not listening enough myself, right? So,
I think we could all be guilty of that.
Say, but, Barry.
Yes, sir.
Can I add something? I think it's probably going to be the same for Canada, but American political candidates, if they don't win, whatever their campaign takes in, they get to keep. Like Bernie, two times, the last two times, 2008 and 2012 or 2016, whatever it was, last two or three times. You know, he didn't get the nomination, but he still got to keep all that money. So somebody has to think about that this Maxine just could be a red herring. He could just be part of the system and maybe just keeping that money.
Hmm. Well, it's a good question to ask. I mean, that's the other thing is we've never really seen a balance sheet. We've never seen an income and expense. Like, we've never seen an income statement. We've never seen that stuff.
Like,
entirety of the party, I've seen what we've done on a local level, but I've never seen all the information amalgamated. And it's like, I was president of the EDA, and I'll agree, I shouldn't have taken it on. I was too busy, but I wasn't contacted by anyone for months. So I submit my resignation because there was just something not right. Because I guess I grew up, I spent most of my adult life involved in politics because of my cousin, who was a successful politician. The guy ran successful campaigns. He won, I believe, it's 6 elections or 7 elections, like something ridiculous. Like, politics is a way of life for him. Right. And so I saw what it took to win an election, and I saw what it took to run a party from within. And I'm not seeing that with the People's Party. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and I don't want to bash the People's Party because I agree. They're the only ones that even give us even a glimmer of hope of returning Canada to the free and prosperous country that it should be. But I don't think the media is going to allow that to happen. And if you look at Bill C-10 that they're about to pass, everything Maxime Bernier puts on social media is going to be taken down within 12 hours by Bibeau and his Gestapo.
We're at that point now in Canada, Billy, that this is such a critical issue, and people aren't even talking about it. The fact that they're really going to clamp down on freedom of speech, we're not going to have it. All we'll hear is what we can get on CBC and CTV, and that's it. How are they going to stop it from coming across the border, though, Billy? How are they going to do that? How are they going to clamp down on information coming from the rest of the world?
Well, that's just it. They'll probably work with our service providers. And we won't get access to certain things in the internet because our service providers will block those different IP addresses or those different streams.
Wow. It's a brutal bill. I know it's a brutal bill. I just started looking at it a couple of days ago, Billy, and I'm shocked at what they're trying to do right now in Canada. But it's all part and parcel to the Great Reset and Communism 2.0.
Well, and I see what goes on from within because I run a community radio station. My wife runs a community television station. We're both very well aware who gets the funding, how they get the funding, who's in bed with who at the CRTC, mm-hmm. and these service providers are given these grants. So if you think the government asking a service provider to censor certain websites coming from the United States would be a big deal with the tap open the way it is.
That's not a problem at all for them.
Oh, I mean, they can even mess around with community television stations if they wish. Like Eastlink here will screw around with the programming of the television station my wife operates. Just because they can. They're so big and they can. And the CRTC will let them be because when they go to Ottawa, well, the CEO of Eastlink may or may not treat the manager of the CRTC to a $300 meal and a $500 bottle of wine. And God knows what else after, right? At the Chateau Laurier in a $500 a night room.
it's shocking, Billy. It's really shocking how fast this government is ramming through communism 2.0 in Canada. And Canadians are just sitting back. I mean, the trees are in front of our face and people still can't see it, Billy. It's scary. It really is. This legislation is going to shut down free speech in Canada. Well, how much more is it going to take for people to go, hey, wait, something's really, really wrong here? But we don't hear it. We don't have any opposition in Parliament now. And the NDP's work with the Liberals, the Bloc, the Greens, the Conservatives, they're all globalists. Even though one of them's got lipstick on, they're all globalists. We have no opposition to any of this. Where's our voice to speak against this? It's silence. We're in a lot of trouble, my friend.
Yeah, I'm really not sure. I'm really not sure.
We're asking for answers. Everybody's looking for answers right now, Billy. We got to come up with some solutions. We really do.
It's going to have to happen. It's going to have to happen from the bottom up. And the problem with that, I have a friend of mine that got elected to municipal council. He's very like-minded. And there's another councillor that was elected very like-minded. They were both supporters of mine in the federal election. That's ironic. These two guys both supported me in the federal election. They both get elected municipal councillors. But I supposedly have to believe that none of the people that voted for them voted for me. So anyway, these two guys are trying to change things at a municipal level as far as accountability goes, exposing corruption, etc. And they're becoming aware of situations where federal government is imposing their will on provincial and municipal government, and how, because of the party structure within politics, it happens whether we like it or not. Like, you've got federal MPs offering cabinet positions to people within their party at a provincial level.
Right.
Like, if you run at a provincial level and win, we'll give you a cabinet position within the provincial government if we form government.
Right.
Well, how does a federal MP have the power to do that?
Exactly. You're right, Billy. It has to come from the bottom up. People have to get control of their own councils, because in British Columbia here, all mayors in British Columbia are members of the Council of Mayors for British Columbia, which are just an extension of the government. They're doing the government bidding at municipal level. And if you can stop that at municipal level, so you can take control of the council, no matter what they bring forward, any globalist agenda that they bring forward, you can quash. Ron Stevens talks about one community there in Ontario, Billy, that did this, where there's seven members on the council, and four of them are totally anti-global. Anything globalist, they strike it down. So the mayor is a globalist, and he's been trying to push things through, and every time he pushes it through, it gets struck down. Ron tells me it's driving the mayor absolutely insane, because he cannot pass any of the initiatives that he's being ordered to pass through the municipality. Oh, so there's one way we can get back at this, Billy. I believe that.
And one of the problems as well is a lot of the people that run for municipal office, unfortunately, are not aware of the United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda. So they're not aware of the fancy words that they use, like sustainable development is used in every single municipal meeting that there is across Canada.
Right.
Every month, twice a month, every municipality mentions sustainability or sustainable development or sustainable whatever.
Right.
What they don't understand that is it's being driven from a group of nations that we would not want governing Canada. They're the ones driving these sustainable development agendas. And it's funny, because the two councillors that I made them aware of this, they're like, it's true, Billy. They're like, you're absolutely right. Everything has to do with sustainable this and sustainable that, sustainable this. But there's no common sense to be found. And it's always outsourcing things.
Right.
He's like, why does a municipality, like one of them is asking, like, why does a municipality hire an engineer, for example, if that engineer has to outsource an engineering project within the municipal unit? If you have to extend your water treatment facility and you're the engineer responsible for that within the county, why do you have to outsource that to a contractor to figure out what to do with that water treatment plant?
Protocol.
You know, it's okay, well, because I don't agree with socialism and I don't agree with communism, but I do agree with government controlling certain industries or certain, like, for example, I believe government should control electricity and make it available as cheaply as possible to its citizens, because it's a necessity of life. Same thing with water treatment. Like, how private corporations ever ended up in control of electricity, I will never know how that was made possible. That it's the biggest scam on the face of the planet.
Well, backdoor deals, you know, Billy, they're going on all over the place, everywhere. The levels of corruption are very, very deep, just like the levels of influence in Canada now by the United Nations. There should be no influence in Canada by the United Nations, yet our government is opening the door wide open to all kinds of agendas coming forth that have no benefit to Canadians, but that's what's happening.
Yeah, I'm gonna look this up. I'd seen this before. List of countries in the United Nations, and the way it works there, they vote in blocks. Right. And there's a certain block made up of Middle Eastern and I believe it's Eastern African countries.
And they control the UN now.
Yes, and if they if you go look up their record on human rights abuses,
right?
Like, Afghanistan, Albania, Algeria, Angola,
Saudi Arabia.
Armenia.
Right. If you look them up, Billy, what you'll find that the 10 countries that are in top of the human rights violations at the United Nations, monitoring human rights violations, are the 10 worst countries in the world for perpetrating human violations and evils against human people are the ones that are running the United Nations now. So what have we got there? What do you have? And you wonder why things are upside down in our world. The people running the United Nations are the evilest people in the world. So, I mean, no wonder things are going the way they are because they are controlling our society. In Canada, they want to bring in the United Nations Declaration of Indigenous Rights and Freedoms. And what that means in British Columbia here, Billy, is that basically all land in British Columbia will be given back to a very small sector of society. And the rest of us will be confined to the cities. That's basically in a nutshell what this declaration is all about. And people are going, huh? I beg your pardon? What have they got any right even mandating that kind of change in Canadian society without at least a national referendum on catastrophic changes? But that's what's going on.
Well, did you see the one on Aboriginal? Is it Aboriginal? The United Nations Declaration on Aboriginal Rights?
Freedoms, that's called UNDRIP. Okay.
And how they believe that pretty much every First Nation or Aboriginal people in every country deserves a clear title to all the natural resources in that country and
that's
all
what they're trying to do here right now in British Columbia with this.
Well, here in Atlantic Canada, Clearwater Foods, which is the biggest distributor of seafood, was just bought up by a local First Nations reserve.
Imagine that.
And now that First Nation reserve is buying their lobster from the natives that are insisting that their moderate livelihood fishery entitles them to fish commercially year-round.
Well, it's just like in British Columbia here. I know that there was a report about 5 or 6 of the hereditary chiefs in British Columbia that are involved with the United Nations agendas and are going anti-pipeline. And there's reports of them being bribed by United Nations entities. And that kind of information has been coming out here for the last 3 or 4 weeks, Billy. I'm really kind of trying to chase it all down. I don't want to say too much, but this is being reported on, and it makes sense because you have certain chiefs standing against any kind of pipeline projects in British Columbia, period. So who's influencing them and whose pocket is being filled?
Well, I'm speaking to representatives of Métis communities. And what I'm hearing, I've even spoken to chiefs of different Mi'kmaq First Nation reserves that will say that there's discord even amongst them, between one reserve and another over money, over funding, over corruption, over there's a big struggle in there for the cash. Mm. And certain reserves that are more known than others are less willing to forego the funding that they receive in order to help their neighboring First Nation reserve, for example. Mm. So there's it's weird how the love of money is the root of all evil, and it always turns out that that's exactly what the problem is.
It is, Billy, and now in British Columbia, we did have a law passed that First Nations bands were going to have to be accountable for how they actually spent the millions and millions and millions of dollars that are given to them every year. But of course, that was struck down by Justin Trudeau. So that was something that was put in by the Conservatives that I agreed with, that there has to be some accountability in these First Nations reserves and stuff for how the money is being spent. But now they're not accountable, and there's been so many reports of, and I've actually seen it on one of the reserves here, Billy. I go over to the reserve, and the chief is living in about $1.5 million house right at the entrance to the harbor, and the rest of the place looks like it is downtown Los Angeles.
Right.
So why is that? You know, where's the money going? I mean, there is no accountability, and yet we hear of all kinds of reports of the chief hiring his uncle, his brother, his sister. They're all making $200,000 to $300,000 a year, tax-free money, and the rest of the reserve is living in poverty, and yet there's no accountability for that. That's something that really has to be changed, my friend.
Yeah, I had something similar here. You know, a reserve, the chief builds a brand new home, his driveway
is paved. Yeah, he's living like a king.
His brothers and sisters' driveways get paved.
Yeah, his uncle, his aunts, and everybody in the family are all living in beautiful houses. But I'm telling you, the one reserve here I'm talking about, I'm not going to say the name of the reserve, but I've been there, and I've seen it with my own eyes, you know, how a few members in the society are living like kings, and the rest of the places in town look like they should be condemned. Yeah. You know, that's going on. I see this, I'm going like, wait a second, this guy's living up on top of a hill here, like in a golden palace, and the rest of the people in his reserves that he's supposed to be taking care of, and his main interest is supposed to be about them and their ability to have a nice house to live in. It's total BS. And that really is something that should be changed, Billy.
Oddly enough,
Trudeau took that away.
Oddly enough, it's very similar to the story we learned recently of the leader of Black Lives Matter in California.
Yeah, the $1.5 million house she bought. Or was it $10 million? Sorry, $10 million.
No,
$1.5 million. I think it was $1.5 million. Yeah. Still, that's a pretty nice house.
Yeah. Hey, last time I checked, there's still, you know, kids being killed every weekend in Chicago.
Oh, that don't matter, man. I got the money now. See you guys later. Yeah. You suckers. Tell them anything and they'll believe it, man.
Sings that song there. Come on, take the money and run.
You know, you're watching what's going on in the States right now, Billy, with Arizona and Georgia. You know, I'm really kind of praying that goes good. I really hope that this comes forward, that this election was stolen. Because they could, like Roger said in the first hour, could nullify the election. Boy, that would turn the apple cart upside down, wouldn't it?
Well, and it would certainly explain Trump's eerie silence.
Yeah, you know, that's a question a lot of people are asking. Why is he being so quiet when the country is absolutely being decimated by so-called policies that Biden is trying to put forward? And he's like, what he's proposing is just craziness.
He's letting it speak for itself.
Give him enough rope to let him hang himself, baby?
Yeah.
Well, I hope something changes down there quick, Billy, because I can't listen to Billy or Joey anymore, man. I can't even listen. He's worse than listening to Trudeau. And Trudeau I gag listening to, so.
Well, at least Trudeau, you know, he's a drama teacher, so it sounds half.
Yeah, he's making a little bit of sense.
At least there's some inflection there in the voice.
Did you see Joe's address to the Congress there? Did you watch that, Billy? This is painful. This is literally painful to watch. You know, I don't know what the rest of America was thinking about that, but I was sitting there just going, are you guys serious? This is the leader of the free world? Are we in trouble?
The media lapped it up. The media were like, oh, this is so Rooseveltian. I was like, Rooseveltian? Who came up with that? That must be a Chris Cuomo or a Don Lemon.
Yeah, Rachel. Rachel and her crowd.
Yeah.
Hey, what about the who was it? The premier of New Brunswick was on the TV the other night crying.
No, that was Doug Ford.
Oh no! But what, there was somebody from the East Coast that did the same thing, wasn't it? Jason was telling me that one of your politicians was actually crying in front of the camera because he was scared. He was scared, and he was trying to shed those tears so that the audience would feel how much fear he felt about the new. A variant of the vaccine or the new variant of COVID-19 that was coming, and the guy was shedding tears. Man, I'm sitting there going, like, "Are you serious?
Did he have blonde curly hair by any chance?"
I think Jason was telling me about. Jason Fraser was telling me about this. Somebody else was telling me about it.
The art premier Ian Rankin.
Yeah, maybe that's the guy, man.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, it just goes to show you what levels these guys will stoop to. to try and sell this fear virus.
Well, it's either the level they'll stoop to sell the fear or the level of stupidity there. Like, it's one or the other. It's either they're completely, their brains have turned to mush and they'll fall for anything and they're legit scared, or it's one big act. So
it's just a big act, Billy. It's all it is. Trying to push the fear. You know, I'm looking at the numbers for cases. Okay. From 1st of April, I'm looking at these numbers here. This week I've looked at a couple different charts and April, you know, you see the lines for cases. It's pretty flat. Nothing really going on in February, March, nothing really going on. All of a sudden, there's a huge spike in cases in Ontario, across the country, everywhere. Huge spike in cases. But the death line hasn't moved one iota, not one iota. So you tell me, folks, if there is such a rise in cases all of a sudden, how come there isn't a rise in deaths, Billy, to coincide with that? It's not happening because
they're telling us
exactly. It's all a charade, man. It's just smoke and mirrors. They're losing the narrative, so they had to throw some more fear out at people. Now they're just ramping it up. You can't turn on the TV or radio now and not hear COVID-19 seven days a week, 24 hours a day. That's all you hear. Well, COVID.
It's a good way for a quick cash grab too. One of the headlines in Nova Scotia, it was either this morning or yesterday, 17 people fined $2,000 each for having a party. And they got reported, the cops showed up, and all 17 present at the party got $2,000 fines each.
Take it to court, because you know what? The government's backing down on every one of these cases. The government is backing down. When they get to a certain point, Billy, they back down because they know they haven't got a leg to stand on. So I'm waiting for the day to get I want to go to court with the government. I do. Because, well, organizations like Rebel Media, how many people they're helping right now? And a couple of them have gone to court, or to what they call, I guess it's discovery. But immediately the government backs out and they throw it out. So they don't have a leg to stand on. Their so-called health... perceived health emergencies, these declarations by provincial health officials, so-called officials, do not trump our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And that's something that people have to understand. Even though the Charter is not something that I support, but actually the Canadian Bill of Rights overrides everything they're doing with these so-called perceived medical emergencies, Billy. We got to educate people that they don't have the right to do anything that they're doing. But the fear virus. There you go.
Well, if you go on the official Government of Canada website and you type up Charter of Rights, you can no longer find. Do you remember how it used to be printed? And it like the Parliament building was in the center. It was written in English on one side, French on the other.
Yep.
You can no longer find that on the official Government of Canada website. You can find it elsewhere, but on the official Government of Canada website, all you can find now is the government's interpretation of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
Huh. I was not aware of that, Billy. I'm going to have to look that up. But it wouldn't surprise me.
Someone made me aware of it, and then I looked it up. You can find it. It'll say, what does the Charter of Rights and Freedoms mean? And then, like, on the Justice website. It's no longer on the Justice website of the Government of Canada. Wow. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what are they telling us here? Because we have to consent to everything they do, and so far we are. Except that lately, the last 2 weeks, like you saw what happened in Montreal, I saw thousands in Brantford, thousands in Belleville. Like, I've YouTubers I watch, Canadian YouTubers, they're getting fed up and starting to mobilize.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say Canadian YouTubers, I mean like Canadian arm wrestling YouTubers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just people in general are getting fed up with, like, they know something's not right with what they're telling us.
There's a group of doctors now, Billy, and this is going to come forward here. I would say in 2 weeks from now, they'll really come forward and make statements, but there's doctors in this country right now that are forming an association to speak as one voice against the government, because doctors are being threatened. They're scared to come forward. But what's going on right now, what we're seeing right now, Billy, is people are coming up with all kinds of ways to come back at this government. And we're seeing more and more people getting involved. So what's going on with this group of doctors? Some of them are some of the most prominent doctors in Canada. I was sitting at a round table here three nights ago with about 17 different people. There were six of these doctors sitting at the round table. And what I'll tell you is they're going to come together as a unified voice here in the very, very near future, absolutely lambasting the government and absolutely demanding public inquiries into government science that's allowed them to perpetuate these absolute draconian measures on society. So you're going to see a major pushback coming here, Billy. That's happening right now as we talk. And there's some really good people involved with it. I'd actually like to introduce you to a few of them, and a few of them would like to meet you. So maybe we can do that.
Yeah, I'd be all game for that.
Yeah, one gentleman said he wants to meet you, so we'll set that up.
A group of nurses in Ontario held a public meeting.
Yes, I know. I saw that. Yeah. Well, they're coming more and more. They're all scared, Billy, because they're being threatened. You know, we're in a society right now where medical professionals are being threatened if they bring any information forward contrary to the narrative of the government. Well, folks, I mean, go read the Communist Manifesto, guys. I keep telling people that's a book that people have to read. It's one book that I did read. And if you read it, what's going on right now in Canada, you could almost cross the T's and dot the I's, chapter to chapter in that book right now, how this is being played out, every mechanism that's being used against us to restrict our freedoms. We're going to wake up here one of these days real soon, and we're not going to have any freedoms left, folks. That's how fast this is going. And they're following the plan right to the T, Billy. So, but I am seeing a pushback, buddy. I'm seeing people really start to engage in serious conversations that even in my little community here in Terrace that weren't engaging in these kind of conversations a couple of years ago. But we really need to put the pedal to the floor right now because I'm terrified, Billy. I'm terrified for my country. I am. And I'm not scared to say that. I don't get scared by much, but I'm scared for the future of my country right now. Go ahead.
Well, at least you're terrified for the right reasons. People in my family are literally terrified of what they see on TV. Like my father, if it was up to my father, we'd all be locked in our homes and we'd have everything we need delivered to us.
Wow. I can't believe that people would think that way, Billy. I just, you know, our forefathers right now are rolling in their graves, guys. I mean, they died to give us freedoms, and we're just letting them go away with no struggle, no kickback, no pushback. I can't believe that sectors in society are allowing this to go on. But then we also got to realize that a lot of people in society haven't studied history, or they're not allowing history to be taught anymore. So people really don't know what's happened in the past, but we're right now, we're almost to the T, exactly where Germany was in 1935 to 1937. We're right in the same agenda being played on society.
You know, that's a really scary thought when you put it out in those terms. Because how long was it before World War II broke out after 1935?
Well, exactly. And if you look what's going on right now in Canada, it's almost, like I said, another book that I haven't read, but I understand a lot of what the Mein Kampf says and how Germany got to the point they were at the time the war started, how German people were turned against the Jews, how the extermination of Jews in the Second World War was allowed to happen. Just incredible how brainwashed a society can become. But the mechanisms that Hitler used are almost identical, word for word, with what's going on in Canada right now. So people got to study history because history always repeats itself, Billy. And I'm not an expert on it, but I've read enough of it to understand the correlation of what was going on there and what's going on today. The only difference is today is we have the internet. We have the ability to still seek out contrary opinions, but that's going to get taken away very shortly. And that's scary.
That's why people really need to pay a bit attention to Bill C-10. Now, that's what they're doing with this COVID racket is keeping everyone in fear for COVID.
Right.
Everyone, like 90% of the people I know are tuned in every day for the daily update. Like they wouldn't miss it for all the tea in China. It's the number one news that people are looking for.
Right.
So they don't care about anything else.
Right. What a distraction, eh, Billy? What a distraction.
Okay, so a First Nations tribe just bought up Clearwater, the biggest food, seafood distributor on the planet. and no one's talking about that. Bill C-10, no one's talking about that. They want to take away our guns, no one's talking about that. We've heard pretty much nothing on the biggest mass shooting in Canada, except for the fact that the officer in charge that dropped the ball and didn't respond to the alert that was supposed to go out that Sunday morning, she got promoted. She got some sort of promotion there just recently. She made our provincial satire magazine, Frank Magazine.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah, so she obviously did a good job.
Yeah. you've got TSN telling people, oh, tune in to our TSN 5G for our hockey games. And people aren't cluing in that the 5G technology that they're looking at is being provided by Huawei, a company that all the countries that are in partnership with Canada refuse to implement in their countries.
But like, Trudeau was just going, come on in, guys.
Well, I couldn't believe what they're...
I can't believe that either.
5G technology on these apps. You can watch a hockey game, and you can actually, in a live game, pause it, change your camera angle, zoom in, zoom out. So let's say I'm watching it from the perspective of, I don't know, behind the home team's bench, and I'm watching it from there. In the middle of this game on my phone, I can pause it, switch to where I'm sitting behind the goaltender, and then continue watching live play from there.
Wow.
And people are locking it up, right? But imagine what kind of speed do you need in order to be able to do that? Well, like what kind of...
Yeah. And you know, what a way to keep them entertained, Billy. We're going to saturate them with this stuff. And they're just going to lap it up, send them another $2,000, give them for another 3-4 months, and then we'll drop the hammer on them. Oh, boy, watch them scramble. Because that's what's going to happen, my friend.
You know, no one is really using their common sense anymore. It's
gone.
Well, so I'm supposed to believe that the vaccines help, but just coincidentally, you guys roll out the vaccines, and we've got the biggest spike we've had since this thing started. You're trying to tell me that you're not infecting people
on coincidence. Purpose? Coincidence.
Yeah.
These guys are psychopaths from hell. We know that, Billy. That's where they came from. That's where they're going one day, my brother, and I take solace in that. But in the meantime, they're going to wreak havoc on this planet. And what they're doing with the 5G rollout, phased array technology, we factor into the equation that, like we've said many times on shows, that the technology we know right now is 10 years behind of what they actually possess. What kind of tools do they have in their little toolbox they're going to unleash on the human race? We have no idea, but we know they're not good.
Have you seen this? There's this new movie out on, I forget if it was on Amazon Prime. I watched it the other day just for kicks. Samuel L. Jackson and John Cusack are in it. And it's called Cell, like cell phone.
Huh, I haven't seen it.
And it's a movie about, just one moment where anyone who's on their phone actually talking, not texting, but talking on their phone on a call, there's some sort of frequency that's sent through those phones that turns everyone into like mind control zombies. And they get taken over by this AI technology and they've got like this hive mentality. And I'm watching this and I'm like,
wow, are they ever close to doing that?
Well, yeah, because you see them, they're walking in a big circle around this big tower. And they're just like zombies, right? And they're cannibalistic. They go cannibalistic, but it's herd mentality, just what the herd needs, nothing more, nothing less. And
they can spray nano radio transmissions in the air. We can be taking them into our body. They can be injecting all kinds of things through nanotechnology. We have no idea what they're doing. They're psychopaths. You think that anything they're doing is beneficial to the human race? They have a plan, man, and they're rolling it out like crazy. I believe 5G is all part of it. I believe the vaccination programs are all part of this, really. It's all coming to a head. But then if we look at Revelations, my friend, it really kind of crosses the T's and dots the I's, exactly what's going on in our world today. And I take solace in that because it's what I follow right now. I follow biblical prophecy because it is so accurate, telling me what's going on in the world and where we're going. So I start my day with prayer, buddy. If I didn't have that right now, Billy, I think I'd lose my mind, brother. I really do. Go ahead. We only got a couple minutes left, Billy.
There's not much to add to what you just said.
Well, it's the truth, buddy. It really is. I start my day with prayer. And at this point in my life, if people don't like my stance as far as what I believe and where I'm at with Jesus and how he is influencing my life, I don't care. But I know if I didn't have the ability to communicate with him, he brings a peace in my life every day. He allows me to kind of rationalize what I see going on, because we're seeing absolute insanity unroll on the planet right now. Everywhere we look, it doesn't matter what we talk about, we see insanity. So we got to keep our feet on the ground, Billy, because we're the people that people are going to come and ask for answers when things really go crazy, and they're going to do that really quick.
Well, there's that line in that hymn. I love that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and that there's a lot. Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
So true, eh?
Because we don't turn them. We don't turn to them enough. And I've been doing a lot more of that in the last 6 months. And it's pretty much the only thing that keeps me sane. Because you see the bigger picture. When you understand, when you've read the Bible and you understand it and you're saved and you really understand where it is we're headed, it doesn't matter how bad it gets. Like, I feel more bad and I feel more like I'm not ringing the bell for myself. I'm ringing the bell for others. Exactly. Like, if I had to encourage people to do one thing, it would be to get right with God, because we just don't know where this is headed. All I know is everything I see around us is the Antichrist system being implemented worldwide. There's nowhere left to go. There's nowhere left to go. Our ancestors came to North America to go get away from it. The beast.
Yeah, system. No, we're here for that particular time in history. This particular time, we see the timelines all being played out. Billy, and we talk about all kinds of different things that point to this time in the Bible, and it is coming at light speed right now. So nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring. But I know that my existence on this planet is a fleeting speck in time compared to my eternity. And the most important thing is where I'm going after I leave here, and how I leave this, and how I leave this planet.
And the one job we have while we're here is to spread the truth. Jesus said it himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me but through the Father." And that's no one goes to the Father but through me. Sorry, and to me, if you're telling the truth, that's why people that tell the truth are so alienated and so ostracized and so insulted, and so like we're pushed to the corners of society because we're out there telling the truth that no one wants to hear. Everyone knows we're right.
They don't want to admit it. They don't want to come out of the matrix, Billy, and I see that with so many people. They know that, you know, something's wrong, but they really don't want to get involved. They always have this attitude that somebody else is going to fix the problem for us, and we don't have to worry about it.
Honestly, Barry, how hard was it with the first time you had to look yourself in the mirror and say, man, I have been duped this whole time?
Yep.
How hard was it that first time when you realized I knew, I'd have to throw out the window?
That was a life-changing experience, Billy, and I remember the night very well. Listen, right. I'm down to the last couple minutes here for the hour, Billy, so time's up. You want to quickly say a last couple words to people and maybe where they can reach you if you're still doing pods and stuff?
I'm always reachable at wtjoyce@hotmail.com. I'm still on Twitter. I'm not as active on social media as I used to be, but be on the lookout. I'll be getting my BitChute channel, I'd say before summertime. I'd say by summertime I'll be up and running again on some platform. I'm even looking into billyjoyce.com, where I could put written articles in French and in English, just short little articles to accompany my videos. And that's it. Like, if I do anything, it's going to be short, sweet videos, maybe not so sweet all the time, especially if I get prank calls from people pretending to be from some COVID examination background.
I got you good, Billy. This week I made a call to Billy. What did I say to you? This is Mr. Marshall from the COVID vaccination. What was it? What did I say to him? Anyways, Billy actually believed me, and we got him going. But listen, my time's up, Billy, so I am going to –
thanks for having me, Barry.
Hey, listen, we're going to do this again real soon, okay, Billy?
Yes, sir. God bless you.
You have a great day, and thanks for coming in.
Yeah, take care. My pleasure is all mine.
Okay, like, folks, you know, this is the 3 hours has gone by very quickly. I've really enjoyed the show today. I really enjoyed my conversation with the doctor, and I love talking with Roger, and I love talking with Billy. So it's been a very enjoyable show. Next week, I've got a couple doctors lined up for you, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to have Arena back next week and another doctor joining me here from Canada. We're going to talk about vaccines and all kinds of other neat stuff. Please join me then. I'll be back same time, same place. You guys all have a great week. God bless you. Bye for now. And also, thanks to Steve. I almost forgot. Thanks, Steve, for producing my shows. I'd be lost without you. You guys all have a great week. Bye for now.